Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to. Hi, Wes. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Well, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, he was powerful. This is a no-win situation.
Show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We're global. You're listening to Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. Today is December 11th, 2023. A lot of things happened over the weekend that's unbelievable. As for one thing that happened, baseball news. But happy Hanukkah, everybody. I'm just going to play a Hanukkah song for our Jewish friends. Happy Hanukkah. We support the Jewish people and Israel.
Okay. It's a song that there's a lot of Christmas songs out there and not too many Hanukkah songs. So wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go.
Here comes Hanukkah, so much Hanukkah, to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a festival of light. Instead of one day of presents, we have eight crazy nights. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do James Caan, Kirk Douglas, and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together, what a fine-looking Jew.
Don't need deck the halls or jingle bell rock, cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish.
Put on your yarmulke, time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrate Hanukkah. O.J. Simpson, not a Jew.
Guess who is Hall of Famer Rod Carew? He converted.
We got Ann Landers and her sister, dear Abby.
Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish.
Not too shabby. Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is.
Well, he's not, but guess who is?
All three Stooges. Tell your friend Veronica, it's time you celebrate Hanukkah. Oh, forget a harmonica on this lovely, lovely Hanukkah. So drink your gin and tonica and smoke your marijuana. If you really, really want to have a happy, 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 happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, with my Jewish friends. If you're into sports, the world's crazy, first of all. The topic today, you're not going to believe it's still going on. There's still court cases, you're not going to believe it. The Catholics. Pre-sex abuse. And second half of the show, the butterfly effect. The diocese currently going bankrupt. They're doing their bankruptcy proceeding. Can you imagine one of the richest church in our nation or in the world? The messages to God, priests, nuns, they're dressing up like little penguins. What's wrong with that? Holier than thou. The Pope, who's supposed to be closest to God, the symbol, the body of Christ. We drink his blood. But yet, one of the holiest of all churches, the diocese currently is filing for bankruptcy proceedings, having these cases with sexual abuse has finally got to the Catholic Church. How do you hurt the Catholic Church or anybody, even Donald Trump? This canceling on Facebook or Twitter or social media. Ah, that's bullshit. Nobody cares about that. Nobody cares. But you heard it with the money, the mighty dollar. That's when it becomes serious. I'll tell you that story later. So, no wonder a lot of people are saying there's no God. And I asked the question before. I happen to believe there is. But I asked the question before. How can you belong to an organization who is filing for settlements of sex abuse by little boys? I don't know if you would belong to an organization. Think about it for a minute. Just think about it for a minute. Let's say you were, let's say your child was enrolled in school and the teachers were having their way with the kids and there's allegations and there's settlements. Sex abuse. And if you found out there was one teacher or a principal or a couple of teachers, you want their heads. You want to burn down that school. You take your kids out of that school. I don't get it with you guys, the Catholics. I don't get it. I don't get it. Because I don't think any Catholics have the right to call any religion a cult. I don't think so. I don't know the Catholic law about priests that, or Catholic law about life that you could do anything, murder someone, take blood money from a criminal, turn your back on them, sprinkle a little water on them and call it holy water, and all of a sudden the water that probably comes from the still. Even the Jewish religion, even they have who bless the water. They bless the food. They bless it. And if I'm not mistaken, the Bible says that you don't worship a fake idol. So I don't know. I don't know and I'm going to the Jewish religion, I don't know if you can bless anything. A mere mortal. Can you imagine that guy sitting at a Thanksgiving and they bless the food that is kosher now? All of a sudden, this food become kosher, or maybe we ought to look into kosher food. See if it has some of the ingredients that our food have. What do they take out? I do like the Hebrew hot dogs. They do taste better. I have no idea why, but they taste great. I'm going back to the Catholics. I mean, and this goes up to Donald Trump. And bear with me. Because how do we get some Catholics to Donald Trump? Because people don't understand Donald Trump. And why do they still vote for him knowing he does bad things? That's what it comes down to. Why do we still worship people or churches or religion who do bad things to society? Rotten things, harmful things, hurtful things. And you still call it a religion. If you need a babysitter and a priest had this index for babysitting service while they're at church, would you let your little boy be babysat by a priest for 3 hours while you attend services? It's a funny question, but it's a real question. And if you say no, because slightly in the back of your head, the reputation of some priest, why would you belong to a church like that? Why worship in a church like that? Well, we're going to get into that story. It's an amazing story. So a lot of diocese are filing for bankruptcy because they're tired of settling sex abuse cases. It's a weird thing. I saw this story. And the second half of the show is the butterfly effect. Can you imagine? And if you don't know what a butterfly effect is, you should know what it is. Because some people believe it affects the world. The things in the world, tornadoes, hurricanes, volcanoes, earthquakes, shattered relationships, devastation, famine, the four horsemen, if you will, the butterfly effect. And if you don't know what it is, you should know what it is, and we're going to talk about the butterfly effect. It's the idea that a small, very small thing, like a tick on a cat or a tick on a dog, can seemingly do trivial events. If you squash that tick or that flea, that can have devastating events and ultimately result in something with much larger consequences. It's called the butterfly effect, and we're going to talk about that. And if you don't know what it is, you should. Let's hammer this out. It's Monday, 7 a.m. I'm Brian Hammer Jackson, and here we go. If you'd like to come into the studio, let me give you the phone number. I really don't have to give it to you because we're an internet radio show, and if you're listening to me, you already see the phone number, but just in case people are on their phones, which I've heard they do, or at work and they can't see it, it's 319-527-6099. It's 319-527-6099. It's the number to get you in the studio. It's the number that will get you going. It's December 11th. Are we already at the 12th day of Christmas? Not yet. What is the 12th day of Christmas? Starts. The 15th? No, that's 5 days.
Did you leave the milk out for me?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
No. Hold on 1 second. Okay. There you go. What is the 12th day? The 12th day of Christmas is the 25th. Okay, let me pull out the calendar there. Because I don't know if we're in the 12th day. We may be in the 12th day. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Tomorrow is the 12th day of Christmas. Tomorrow is the 12th day of Christmas. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah. It's tomorrow. And I know you guys, you know, I think Black Friday kind of worn you out. Right now you're probably picking up little tchotchkes, you know, to fill the stockings. And some of us haven't shopped yet. Some of us will go online shopping. That's what we're going to do. So when we come back, and, you know, there's things around the world that we should talk about. I mean, sports is unbelievable. We're going to talk about the highest paid athlete in the world, $701 million. $701 million. Shohei Ohtani, the pitcher from the Angels and now a Dodger, and he signed a $701 million a year contract. That's almost $1 billion. If you're a baseball fan, what it is that baseball plays nine innings. So he's getting paid almost over $400,000. It's probably more than that. Is it $4 million? I think, no, it's $400,000 each inning of baseball. And baseball is nine innings. So I think it's over $400,000 for each inning of baseball. $700 million to play a child's game. $701 million. That's astounding. That's astounding. And so we're going to talk about that. And, you know, again, Trump, then the news, and who cares? Who gives a rat's ass about this dude? And if you're worried about Trump, let me tell you something. You want to stop Trump? If you're worried, if you're one of those people who worried about Trump, all you have to do is remember when you go vote, and you got about a year. And I'm gonna help you Republicans, you guys, the really far right nutcases, you know, the people on the edge. Half of your senses are saying, you know, maybe this guy's not so good. Okay, then you could go ahead and vote for him. But vote the down ticket, too. Make sure the Democrats stay, get powerful in Congress, and the Democrats get powerful in the Senate. Vote your down ticket. That way this guy can't do shit. He can't do shit. It puts him in checkmate. So this is a time when you guys vote, and I know you guys don't pay attention to politics, but pay attention to your governor. That's very important. Pay attention to your mayor. Very important. Pay attention to your congressman and your Senate. Extremely important. Because if this madman gets into office, you voted your down ticket to put him in checkmate that he can't do nothing but retire in Florida. So if you're worried about that, that's what you need to do. All right, when we come back, I'm going to make some coffee. When we come back, we're going to talk about those things and get into the pre-sex abuse and our second half of the show, The Butterfly Effect. That's what we're going to do. We'll be right back.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
Make the Yuletide gay.
From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us one. the fates allow. Upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now. Fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Almost 12th day of Christmas. 12th day of Christmas. And we should do our Christmas play. But I can't do our Christmas play because usually every year people look forward to Baby It's Cold Outside by me and my co-host. Since I no longer have a co-host, I can't do it. And I disappointed millions of people. Sorry. Sorry. Check this out. The highest paid player in the world. A title that once belonged to Gerrit Cole is now owned by the New York Mets ace Justin Verlander and Texas Ranger pitcher Max Scherzer, with Aaron Judge a close second. Now, Shohei Ohtani is leading the biggest contract ever. This dude, man. This dude, $700 million, dude. That's $70 million a year, not including bonuses. Not including bonuses. He becomes the world's highest paid athlete after signing a lucrative contract with the Dodgers. He is now one of the richest athletes in the entire world. Playing a kid's game. I'm not looking forward to go to Dodger Stadium because here's how it works. The owners do not lose money. If you want to buy a hot dog for $25, probably go to Dodger Stadium. You know the deal. You know the deal, Dodger fans. We went to a SC game. It was a college game. A beer was $14.95, one beer. A hot dog was $11.75. One dog. So by paying this guy this much money, they're going to raise the prices. You know they're going to. What they're going to do is probably raise the rent of the vendors. The vendors are not going to lose any money, so they're going to raise the rate of their food. You know, I'm going to start. Back in the day, we used to hide our food into a woman's, they used to call it a pocketbook, a purse. I don't know what they call it now. But we used to hide our food in our purse, in her purse, beer. We used to pack that thing down like a cooler. Beer, candy, blah, 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 blah. Now they check your shit. Now you can't even go to a sporting event unless it's a clear thing. We couldn't get into a game because the bag, the purse or whatever, was not clear. So they want you to put it in a clear bag so you can see through the bag. They claim it's for security. No. What it really is, don't be fooled. What it really is, so they can see that you don't bring in any food or drinks into the stands, into security. But they're telling, into the arena. But they're telling you it's for security. Bullshit. Same thing they're telling you with the Patriot Act. Well, the government has to listen to what's going on with your phone calls and everything, because we don't want any terrorist activity, even though 9/11 was, 20 years ago? No. 9/11. 10 years is 21, 22, 14 years ago? But we're still going to monitor your phone calls and your smart TV. We're listening on your smart TV because we want to hear what you need, and we can help you, send you products that you really need so you don't have fun. We'll do it for you. We'll shop for you, put it in your head for you. And before this is all illegal, the ACLU said, Big Brother, get away. Now ACLU is nothing. They're nothing but bitches. Where was I? So anyway, a Dodger dog is probably going to be like $20. And maybe we should do that. Maybe, people forget that people have power. They forget this. Maybe we should boycott those prices by not going. By not going. By not going to the game. See how that will work for those bastards. See what they do then. Fuckers. I'm with you and I stand by you. Fuckers. So he paid a 10-year deal worth $700 million, which makes it the richest contract in baseball history. Now, Babe Ruth was good. They're comparing him to Babe Ruth. You can't compare Ohtani to Babe Ruth. Ohtani is great. Babe Ruth was a fat, blowhard piece of shit. Babe Ruth was a piece of shit. He was a drinking, boozing, hooker, fat ass. He was a piece of shit. So we kind of watch how we put up our heroes, because they are mere mortals. And when you make somebody a legend and a hero, it takes them from their mortality into another plane, and then we put them up higher than anything, like an angel. But they're a piece of shit. Some people would have said Martin Luther King was a piece of shit. Cheated on poor Coretta. Galveston running around preaching this and hopping in bed and with his holy cock. Did I just say holy cock? Okay, let me see. Let's see if I can edit that shit. Piece of shit. If you want to go morals. Ohtani, if you've never seen this dude play, go on YouTube. This man is amazing. Babe Ruth couldn't even shine this man's shoes. Ohtani is, the dude hits home runs, the dude can catch, the dude can pitch a no-hitter. This guy is the best. And if you ever wondered why you never got into sports, and if you're not a sports person, go on YouTube and look at this dude pitch and look at this dude hit. It's, I don't know if he's taking steroids, because Asians are not built that way. And is that racist? I don't know. But this dude is buffed, getting a little fat there. But this dude is unbelievable. It's one of these freaks that you've seen in a circus that is not wow. Shohei Ohtani, Shohei Ohtani, Ohtani. Go to YouTube, watch this dude, man. Watch this dude. He is simply amazing. We have never seen anything like this in baseball history about this guy play. Just amazing dude. And you can say, okay, it's just a sports guy. No, not just a sports guy. When you have somebody who is superior in their field, the best of the best, I don't care if they're flying airplanes. That's why Top Gun was so good. I don't care accountant. I don't care if a lawyer, whatever, a doctor. If you're the best of the best in your field and you have never seen anything, it's a phenomenon. And this happened to be in sports, but it's a fun time. Watch this dude, man. It will turn you into a sports fan. I swear. Google him. All right, YouTube him. Even though he won't be able to pitch. And see, they're going to pay this dude $700 million a year, and it probably starts now, but he won't pitch next year. I would like that. I'd like somebody to pay me and go, you know what, I got 1 year injured reserve, but I'm good. It was the same thing with Tom Brady. Tom Brady's going to Fox as a commentator, not your Fox News, Fox Sports. And Tom Brady's contract is unbelievable. Let me see what that is. Okay. Here's Tom Brady got a deal. Brady recently signed a 10-year deal with Fox Sports for $375 million. He was supposed to be on the air this year, but he decided to take one more year break, and he'll come back next year. This is something new I didn't know about Tom Brady. Brady recently signed a 10-year deal with Fox Sports for $375 million, okay, to be a lead NFL analyst on air. Okay, although that won't start until he finished playing. Well, this is old. He already finished playing. For now, he tends to corner the fitness market with TB12. TB12, Tom Brady 12, TB12, a program which is built around a regimen created and co-founded by his body coach, Alex Guerrero. You like Tom Brady's body? You'll like, thank Alex Guerrero for that. Dude's getting paid $375 million for Fox Sports on Sunday. Let me see how much a homeless guy is making right now and how many people are starving. Let's put in the starving children and people who don't get them have to go to school for a meal. And you know what? That argument doesn't fly with me either. You know, because it generate. You can't say, well, he's making all that money, he should donate it. Why? Why? And do I do things to charity? Well, I used to because I wanted to get a tax break. Mm-hmm. And if we all did, there has to be a reason we donate. I told you about 2 years ago I had a fight with Santa. Little fucker. That little slimy little scumbag. And it was not my fault. Here I was doing, minding my own business like I tend to do. And I don't know if you ever done this or not, that little scumbag. I'll kick Santa's ass. So my girlfriend made a mistake to leave me alone. And I go, okay. And I'm standing, this when I smoke cigarettes. So I'm standing across Santa. She went into the supermarket. And I'm standing across Santa, and I'm lighting up my cigarette. And Santa began to cough. Shut up. Shut up, you old man. Like my cigarette was bothering Santa. And look at him. It looked like he had diabetes, too. Shut up. This is my space, too. Right now, Santa was getting on my fucking nerves. Fucking Santa. So I'm there enjoying my cigarette, and Santa's making a scene. I'm getting pissed off at him. So like a gentleman as I am, I move to the side like I tend to do, and I smoke away from Santa. Once in a while, when the wind blows the right way, I'll purposely smoke towards the wind so blow Santa away. Give him black lung. Fucking Santa. Anywho, I'm done with my cigarette, right? I feel a little bad for Santa, you know, because in California, we, you know, where we are, it's like 85 degrees in December. And that fat dude in that suit must be really hot. I said, okay, I feel a little generous, right? I'm going to do something for the elves and Santa and the little kids. And he had his Goodwill pot there for a good, is it Goodwill or something like that? I think it's Goodwill. It has a kettle. The one that has a kettle, I don't know. I think it's Goodwill. So I go there, being generous I am. So I take out some money and I put it in a kettle. Now, here's the deal. And I hope, and tell me, have we all done this, or has it just happened to me? And then I realized that I wanted to give him a dollar, right? I got a thank you. Thank you. Now he's sounding like he has asthma. Thank you. Shut up, Santa. Shut up. So I put the money in the kettle, right? Good guy, I'm going to heaven. Look at me, everybody. I'm giving to the goodwill here in this fat fuck here because he's getting on my nerves. And I realize that I put in $5 instead of one. How did I know that? Because as I was going in the store, I'm looking at my wallet and going, oh, because I was going to, and I go, uh-oh. I gave him a five instead of a one. Now, you guys don't know me, and I don't know you, thank God. But usually I pay things with my credit card. And sometimes I rarely, I don't know if I'm one of the millions of people out there like you guys, I rarely keep cash on me. Everything is card, credit card, blah, blah, blah. Don't give me the interest rate. Don't give me that, blah, blah, blah. That's what I do. But once in a while, I will keep some change on me just in case I get robbed. Here you go, you little fucker. I'm going to find your ass just in case. Because if you get robbed, you can't give them your credit card because you can stop that shit and they shoot you. So I have rob money. I walk around with rob money. All right, Brian, I'm going to rob you. Oh, shit, it must be Friday. It's payday. Here you go. That's how it goes. How it goes. So I kept some money and specific amount of money on me for all times. You need cash. So I looked at it and went, wait, I'm short $5. And I go, oh, fuck, I gave Santa a five instead of a one. That should be no problem. Go back outside. I see this fat fuck. Oh, right now he has lung cancer. Oh, and it's my fault. He's up there drama queening it up. You know what I'm trying to say? So I go to Santa. I go, hey, Santa. He goes, oh. I go, keep it down. I go, Santa, I accidentally gave you a five instead of a one. Oh, no. I'd like to have $4 in change, please. He goes, what? I'd like to have $4 back. I meant to give you a one. You can keep the other dollars for your troubles. But I'd like to have $4 in change back. That would be cool. Thank you, Santa. I appreciate it. I can't touch anything that went in the kettle. What? I can't touch anything that went in the kettle. What do you mean? I can't touch anything. When it goes in the kettle, it's in the kettle. Oh, well, do you have any money on you that you can give me $4? Now, I'm talking to Santa, right? Meanwhile, people are walking by me. Kids are smiling at this fat fuck. You know, everything is kosher. I'm keeping my voice down. I don't want to bring attention to me. Santa, just, you know, do you have $4 you can give me? Oh, I'm sorry. I go, you don't have $4? So let me see you have a wallet, Santa? Oh, you know. And then I felt like, shit, I shouldn't ask him that because it's like I'm robbing the motherfucker. Oh, hello, beautiful.
Good morning. Hello, beautiful. Good morning.
Good
Were you?
Morning.
Did you steal my line this morning?
Why?
Piece of shit.
Piece of shit.
He's a real piece of shit. I heard you say that this morning.
Oh my God.
A real piece of shit.
I got that from the interview. It was Mike Tyson came on. I don't know if you heard the show. Mike Tyson came on this radio show. The guy was supposed to be friends of Mike Tyson, right? So Mike says, okay, I'll go on your radio show. And so the dude brought up Mike Tyson raping this woman.
Yeah.
Mike didn't expect that. So the guy was interviewing Mike live on the air. And the guy was going, well, Mike, what about these allegations of rape and everything? Mike goes, you seem like a nice guy. I came on here, you seem like a nice guy. But you're a piece of shit. He goes, Mike, we're live on the air. No, you're a piece of shit. He goes,
that is
Mike.
A piece of shit thing to do.
What,
that was?
Me?
No,
me?
No, him. No, the guy to do that. That
I know,
was a
right?
piece of shit thing. Mm-hmm.
That was.
Yeah.
Wait, I think you enjoyed it. So Mike goes, to the guy goes, Mike, we're on the air and everything. He goes, so what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Michael, okay, we're going to go to commercial. He goes, you're a real piece of shit. and Michael, the guy in his interview. Well, thank you, Mike, and thank you for coming. Fuck you.
I would have been the same way.
That was the funniest interview I've ever. I got to play it for you. I think you appreciate it. But no, that's what happened.
Okay.
And so I started to
Where's
raise
our
my
famous
voice.
Pat this morning? Where is she?
Pat, I will tell you, I'm going to play something and I will tell you in private.
Okay. All right.
Spitter, I'll tell you in private.
Okay.
Because
okay.
it has to do with some, you know, people's health, you know.
Privacy.
And she wants to disclose it. Huh?
Privacy.
Yeah, privacy. Privacy. Here's that interview. Somebody taped it on another TV, so the sound is fucked. But Melissa, listen. So I set it up with Mike Tyson coming on the show. He's smiling and everything. He was doing it for a friend. And this is what happened. And he brought up the rape thing. This is what happened live on TV.
Meet up when I watched him on television, right? In the States, yeah. States, you know, he's a big hit in the States, big hit. Now, some of your critics would say, you know, there's a race for mayor. We know you're a convicted rapist. This could hurt his campaign. How would you respond to that?
Hey, I don't know who said that. You're the only one I heard say that. You know what I mean? And I don't have no comment to that, you know, because it's negative, and you're being negative. And I met the mayor.
Right.
And nothing they can do about it.
We actually had a really good time. We talked about George Travallo, who's a legend in your city, great man, with whom Mike spent quite a bit of time yesterday talking about his life, highs and lows.
So interesting, when you come across like a nice guy, but you're really a piece of shit.
Hey,
come on. That was a piece of fuck you. That was a piece of shit.
You know, we're doing a lot of TV.
I don't care. What are you going to do about it?
All right, you got a show that you're doing tonight.
We are.
You know, a lot of people
are
coming.
Where
it's the raw and it's the real truth.
Yeah, a lot of people
are going to be there to see your show. Just tell us a bit about it.
It speaks for itself. Everyone saw the show.
All right. It says Broadway production. It went to Vegas. It went to actually 28 cities in the United States. And we're really, really proud to bring it here. And we're actually going to Monaco on October 9th. We're going to be in Monte Carlo.
Right. Is it nerve-wracking for you to do something like this, or is it more nervous for you to box? How does it compare? I don't know. It's more nerve-wracking for me to hear talking to a rat piece of shit like you.
Come on, Mike.
No, but you're a piece of shit. All right. We're gonna wrap up the interview. Thank you for coming in.
Fuck you.
That was good.
He held on to that, didn't he?
He really did, Mike. Whatever you think of Mike. Mike is funny. Mike is a funny dude, man. Without his medication. But to finish the story, the voices got out. I go, you know, Santa is, whoa, you can't do it, it's in the kettle. So my voice got raised. I go, Santa, let me have my money. Yeah, I can't touch the kettle, blah, blah, blah. I go, you little fuck, you're a fuck. Now, Santa's getting pissed off at me. Oh, ringing his bell. Won't you move along now? Go, you know, I'm saying, fuck. Yeah, I didn't go like Mike Tyson, but I said, screw you. Oh. And then now the people are seeing this black guy yelling at Santa, and the kids are getting disturbed. Look at me at Santa. There's a competition. And luckily, Cindy comes running out of the store because she knows that if I'm not with her more than 5 minutes, I get into trouble. She pulls me away from Santa, and I flip him off. And I think Santa flipped me off, too. I am not sure. So
probably.
That's the thing there. So that's the thing. And why did I say that? It's because I don't know. I don't know why I told you that story, but I think some things just don't go. You mean good intentions, but it goes wrong. I guess that's what I'm saying. So this guy right here, Russell, I mean, again, I tell you, if you have a chance to YouTube him, Otani, this guy is fucking amazing, man. He's Superman. And don't compare him to Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth was a fat bastard. Drunken-ass bastard.
Was he a pitcher?
Babe Ruth was a pitcher.
No,
he
the new
sometimes.
guy.
Oh, my God, Otani? Oh, yeah.
Is he Japanese?
He's not only a pitcher. Yes, he's Japanese. Not only he's a pitcher, this dude's hitting home runs out of... He's hitting home runs out of the ball. Huh? Yeah?
No, they always do that. Go ahead.
Yeah, he said he Well, I'm kind of disillusioned because $701 million a year.
Yeah.
I mean, $701 million for 10 years, that comes out to $70 million a year. How much money can we throw at people? And we raised the price. How many, Melissa, I don't know when the last time you went to a Red Sox game, because you're in Boston area. Yeah. But it's and if you bought a hot dog nowadays, I mean, like I said, we went to a college game to see SC play, and a beer was $17.95 a beer. Hot dog, I can show you. I took it on my phone. Hot dogs were $14.75 a hot dog. And when you hear these contracts, it's not coming out of the owner's pocket. Trust me, they're going to raise the venue to the people. You know, the people venue. They're going to raise the rent if you want to have a venue in Dodger Stadium. They're going to raise, and of course, they're going to raise their prices to pay for the rent that is raised. So it wouldn't be uncommon to have a beer for $25. I guarantee you, because of this, it won't be uncommon. I guarantee you. Because they're going nuts with the money. Almost $1 billion for this dude. $1 billion. It's almost $1 billion. To play a kid's game baseball. Highest paid guy.
No, you're not having
Hello,
that.
Oliver. Hello, Oliver. I like
that. Obsessed with the tree. Leave the tree.
Oh, is he?
No, you're not having it yet.
Did you get an ornament that looks like Oliver? That's what we did with our. Did he pick out his own ornament yet?
Yes, because he did, and he broke it.
Uh huh. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's what kids do.
It was a robot. Yeah.
I'm going to give people a chance to get some more coffee. I'm going to whisper to Melissa a little bit, and here you go. And you're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio. People ask, why, if you're on the internet, I get this again. I just got this over the weekend. Why do you say 96.7 when you're on the internet? Okay, I'll tell you. Years ago, was it Pat? I don't think it was Pat. I think I cheated on Pat. Years ago, there was a psychic that came on our show, and she read numbers, power numbers, as well as tarot. So she was into numbers, and she read my power number. I think it was 965. Those were my power numbers. That's how she read it. So that's why I said 96.5 Hammer Radio. That's it. Those are my power numbers. There you go. So I answered the trivia to you guys, why I say things. Don't ask me other questions why I say things, because I do. Shut up. I'm in a Christmas mood, you can tell. I have to put up the tree right now, and it's going to be me and my girlfriend made a deal, and I put up the tree, and it's going to be, and I'm going to drink first, and I'm going to smoke some hashish first, and I'm going to put up that freaking tree. I'm going to put it up good. I'm going to take a picture of it, too. That's the tree. And I got to put the elf on the shelf. You know? And everybody should have an elf on the shelf. And in our family, we just started the tradition 2 years ago. We have the thug with a hug. Who do we have? It's a black elf. It's a thug holding his arm out. Thug with a hug. That's what we got to do. We'll be right back and get your coffee, because our next story is going to be about the pre-sex abuse. You're not going to believe this story, man. You're not going to believe it. I'm here with the great Melissa, the legendary Melissa, our morning crew Melissa. It's the holidays, and you can come on the show. Here you go, 319-527-6099. That's it. Come in the studio. We'll be right back. There you go. That's it. Wham, everybody. Last Christmas. What a sad, sad song. I mean, if you think about it, I give you my heart, and you gave it to somebody else. Well, there you go. That's what
happened. You know what's really sad? That all the women thought he was straight, and everybody was in love with him.
I mean, if you look at the guy, if you look at when he first did his video with Young Guns with his friend, with his lover, and you saw the video, he ran like a girl with his arms swinging back and forth and everything, and he was just too pretty to be straight.
He was a beautiful man.
But, you know, a real man, if you want to know what a real man is, think of him walking from the oil fields on a Friday and worked a 12-hour shift, and he's walking home with all that oil and dirt on him. That's a real man. You're not getting any.
His eyes were beautiful. His makeup was beautiful.
That was the hint. That was a hint. He was a beautiful man. But he had fucked up relationship, gay or not. His relationships were really fucked up.
Yeah.
And he couldn't. And, you know, it's really sad.
Where they pretended they were dating. I was reading something recently. You know, like.
Do you think he was gay or bisexual? Do you think he was gay or bi?
He was damn gay.
Was he gay? He was damn gay.
He didn't know that he was gay. And I guess she wanted to kiss him, and he had her dropped off at home. He wasn't touching anything. Anything, no. No. No.
Wow.
No, no.
Wow.
He was kidding.
Wow.
Not funny, hey, right?
Right. Well, I mean, can you imagine the tragedy that you can never be happy? You're one of the top guys.
Yeah.
You're one of the top guys. You're a sex symbol. Women want you. They're throwing things at you. And you're going, ew, ew. I mean, you know you're gay when they throw their panties on the stage and you run away from them screaming. That's your first clue that you might be gay. You might be gay. That could be your first clue.
With a beautiful voice with a tragic life.
Get his last thing is getting caught masturbating in a public park in Beverly Hills, trying to get his freak on with a young boy. I think he was like 17. But you can't even live your life. You can't even have a romantic. You cannot be, I guess, fame. And maybe that's the story. When you try to reach for fame, something you must give up, whether it's peace of mind, whether it's your soul, maybe it's something that you must sacrifice to get there. And that's why very few get to that point. You have to sacrifice something. Michael Jackson, John Lennon, everybody, they sacrifice something to get to that edge.
Yeah.
That's why I'm broke and I won't sacrifice shit. here's their first.
I'm not giving up my shit.
Go away. You know, Brian. Yeah. If you stop the cussing and everything, you could be bigger, and then I would have to watch what I say, and then I say, and the next thing you know, the sexual abuse allegations will start happening to me. Right now, if I have any sexual abuse, they're gonna say that's just Brian. If I become bigger and a saint, and I just look at a woman the wrong way, they go, okay, Brian sexually assaulted me. Oh, that's salt and pepper. Push it good. That's not what the first one, Wham. This first song, him and his lover are dancing. They're gay as fuck, and we're not thinking he's gay. Listen to the song. It was Young Guns with his lover. Here it is. Even the music sound gay.
Doesn't it?
Around town a while, so I greeted you with a knowing smile when I saw that girl.
I forgot that he could rap. You know, when he first started, he wanted to rap. And he rapped about 4 or 5 songs, and they said, and it wasn't really selling. He started off rapping, and then he got into this. But and I'm looking at the video, and it's basically he's dancing with a girl. His lover is dancing with a girl who is part of the band, Wham, you know, Young Guns. And he's talking to him. And here's early, what's his name?
George
Wham.
Michael.
George Michaels, mm-hmm. There you go.
Around town a while, so I greeted you with a knowing smile. When I saw that girl upon your arm, I knew she won your heart with a face so charming. That soul boy, what's the town, and a boy, what's with the frown? But in return, all you could say was, hi, George, meet my fiance. Come, come, heaven's There you go. Look at the video, and you cannot tell me. That's the first video that came out, I think, on MTV. Probably this one, I don't know, but that's their first hit. And if you looked at the video, gay as fuck. I guess his name was Andrew Wrigley. That was his name. George Michael's in it. Look at that. Yeah, George Michael is a very beautiful boy. And a beautiful man.
George was Greek. You sure that was
mm-hmm.
his name?
No,
his
boyfriend. His boyfriend name was Andrew Wrigley.
Oh, his boyfriend. Okay.
Yes, his boy. You, who the guy? Remember when they first came out? It was him and this other guy used to do videos together.
Yeah, I do. Yep.
And they had a problem because the other guy, they got him. He was like a model type and everything. And he was supposed to play the lead, and George was supposed to be the background guy because they wanted this beautiful model type for the band. But anyway, there you go. That's how the 70s were. So you want to see some gay ass fuck
shit? That was the 80s. That was the 80s.
Oh, that was the 80s. Mm.
Yeah.
I guess you the name Wham give you a hint that it might be gay. Wham. Wham. There you go. Yeah.
There was another George that was gay too. Remember him?
No.
And you know, why do we hate people, man, for them being who they are? We got to stop that. I don't really give a fuck if you're gay. I don't give a shit that you're gay. In fact, I have a lot of gay people who are my friends. Well, they're not my friends anymore. I don't know why. But remember this guy? He's a George. And why did we do this? I didn't plan on having it, but welcome to Gay as Fuck Week. I'm going to change my name for today. My name is a briquette. I'm a briquette.
No.
It's Gay as Fuck Week. Welcome to Gay as Fuck Week. So if you're gay as fuck, come on in the studio. You get a prize. The next gay as fuck guy in the next 5 seconds that come into the studio, you can win $500. You got to go in there now. Oh. Out of time. Well, maybe next time.
Oh, that's
and you
too
know,
bad.
It is too bad. I was looking at the giveaway this year of money that we have given away, and we have given away at least $800,000. And how many people won? Zero. What a sad thing. Maybe the 24th. That year would
maybe
be a good year. I mean, it was so close. I'm sure we would have had all these gay people. If I would have said, meet Taylor Swift, the next 10 gay guys that call within 10 minutes, Taylor Swift, this studio will be packed.
Explain what is that? Is she a fag hag or an icon for the gay men?
I don't, you know, I don't find her sexy at all. I find nothing
well, no, but they
sexy
don't either
about her.
But what is it with gay men and her?
They just like female icons. I don't think I think she sings a lot about heartache and breakups, and gay men can identify with it. They attach themselves to Cher. Let's be honest. They attach themselves to Cher. Madonna.
Oh, yeah.
And gay men just attach themselves with being a Swiftie. No, I don't think she's a fag hag. You know who I think is a fag hag is Lady Gaga. I think she's a fag hag. Cher, yeah, I'm going to go. They made her career. Fags made her career. I'm going to go with her. Yeah.
The gay men loved Elizabeth Taylor, too.
They did, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the glamour. I think the gay men loved the sparkles. If you're running around with sparkles around, and you're going to find some gay people around you. They'll just follow you down
the street.
You just hit it.
Glamour.
Sparkles and glamour.
You hit it, yeah. Yeah.
Gays love glamour. Woo, child. Mm-hmm. They love glamour. See, I'm not good enough to be gay. They won't accept me in their gay house, in their gay club, because I'm kind of rough. I don't shave. You know, my hair is kind of messy. My shoes are kind of – they go get – you know, we have a dress clothes here, and you don't fit the gay lifestyle. I'm not feminine enough for a gay. Not that. Okay. They're gays. So, again, we didn't plan on it. It's Gay as Fuck Week, the gays. So if you're gay, come on in. It's a welcome sanctuary for you. I am your host. Just call me a briquette. and I'm your Brigitte. Hello. Hello, Miss Laverne. I think Laverne's out there. I'm going to give a shout out to Miss Laverne. How you doing, sweetheart? I know you can't be with us right now. You're shopping and you're doing your thing with the family. Good to see it. All right, let's finish this off. So $700 million contract. Let me see if I can hear this.
To leak out that they are meeting with Shohei Ohtani. Now, they are expecting a process where he may even pick his team prior to the winter meetings in Nashville in early December. That's how good the process has going. Now, most in the industry feel that the Los Angeles Dodgers are the front runner. They have been preparing to make a run at Ohtani over the last couple of years. But there's some other teams that a lot of people think have emerged as real threats to the Dodgers, starting with the world champion Texas Rangers.
Okay, that's no, sorry. And what happened is Vancouver's pissed at the United States because Ohtani, it was rumors that Ohtani was going to go to Vancouver and play for them. And so they even went as far as put a tracking device on a private airplane that they thought was Ohtani flying to Vancouver to clear the deal. And when the plane finally arrived, it wasn't them. It was a guy on Shark Tank, Javier, whatever his name. It was his plane. So they're pissed off that Ohtani signed with the Dodgers. $700 million, folks. $700 million. And any man really worth a million. The closest athlete is Ronaldo, which is $536 million. He's a soccer player. And he gets $214.5 million a year. Can you imagine that much money? You cannot spend that much. Patrick Mahomes is number three. He's his contract is $450 million for 10 years, and that's $45 million a year. There you go. Manny Machado, $350 million and 341 million. So he just raised the bar. Anybody less than $600 million, you're a pussy now. You just raised the bar. You just raised the bar. You know what's interesting? So here I am, and I'll get to the story. Pre-sex abuse and second half of the show, the butterfly effect. So, but something came on my phone, and I didn't realize it. I don't know if anybody watched Seinfeld at all. I don't know if anybody liked Seinfeld. Well, early Seinfeld, there was when George worked as a Yankee, and there was an older guy who was kind of crazy with George and everything. And okay, his name was Richard Hurd. I had no idea he died of cancer in 2000.
Oh.
So he played Mr. Wilhelm on Seinfeld. He died. And he died in his home. A lot of times, a complication from cancer. He's with the reporter. So there was another one. So, okay, let me hit this. The poor bastard. It was 2020.
Did you see over the weekend that? Oh, my God. What was the name of that weird show? I had Mama June.
Oh, please. And really?
Honey Boo Boo. Honey Boo Boo.
Oh, yeah. Remember
her 29-year-old daughter passed away from cancer.
What?
Over the weekend. Yeah.
29.
I think she had adrenal cancer.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah. 29.
Oh, my God. That is, wow.
I think they called her Chickadee, something like that.
Yeah. Did Honey Boo Boo have a daughter? I don't know.
No, this is one of her siblings, her sisters.
Oh, her sister. Okay.
Yeah, but still that's young.
29 years old, that's almost unheard of. And it was probably a rare cancer. It's almost unheard of.
Yeah.
I kind of heard of that. I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
But you're going to be surprised at this. So, you know, I got my phone, and there was an alert there, and it says Home Alone. They didn't even mention the motherfucker's name. This is how bad it was. Least mention the dude's name.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're going to die, the title says Home Alone, Seinfeld actor diagnosed with cancer. That's what the family says. Why say Seinfeld actor? Mention the dude's name.
Exactly.
Don't just say Home Alone, Seinfeld actor diagnosed with cancer. You're going to put Seinfeld in front of the forget it. Anyway, that disturbed me. This guy died 2 days ago. His name was Ken Hudson Campbell. He was one of those actors, character actors in Home Alone, Armageddon, Groundhog Day. On Seinfeld, he was George was going to name the kid Seven. It was an episode where George wanted to name a unique kid, and he named him Seven. And so he was one of the parents that named the kid Seven. That was that episode. Well, here's what's really strange, because I never heard of this cancer. He was diagnosed with cancer. He appeared in that. Now, here's the problem. He was reportedly diagnosed in late October. That's up this year. After doctors discovered a tumor, get this, a tumor had exclusively grown on the bottom of his mouth and began encroaching on his teeth. So there was a big tumor that was growing on the bottom of his mouth. Look at your bottom of your mouth. And encroaching on his teeth. So you put your tongue at the bottom of your mouth. That's probably where the tumor is. Then it started to grow to encroaching his teeth. It's a tumor. Wow. So apparently this guy is such a nobody that he has to go to GoFundMe fundraiser, and they raised $800,000 for his care. $88,000 for his care. But yet we're paying Otani $700 million to play a kid's game. Forget about that, though. He also played as Santa from Home Alone. He was the guy Bill Murray kisses in Groundhog Day or in Armageddon, which is Carol lost his life saving the world from a giant asteroid. Now he needs the world help to save Ken. There he is. There's Ken. According to Campbell's family, all funds will be put towards his medical expenses following a 10-hour surgery the actor underwent on Thursday. Ha! Beat you by two, you little pussy. 10 hours? Ha! I spit on you. Ha! Welcome to Gay as Fuck Day. I am your host. That's who I am. Just call me Mr. Broquette. Holla at your boy. You know who's going to come in and slap me. You know who's going to come in and slap me. Come in and slap your face. So anyway, that's a damn shame. I never heard of that. And 10-hour surgery the actor underwent on Thursday, the procedure, now here it is, which reportedly requires a partial removal of his jawbone. Partial removal of his jawbone. And this could have implication for the future of his acting career. I saw a commercial once, and I wonder if that's what it is. And it's here in California. To stop smoking, it's this old bitch sitting there going, smoking is bad. And half her jawbone was removed, and her face was caved in like somebody kicked her in the face with a boot. But can you imagine removing part of your jawbone? And somebody said to me, yeah, that's very noticeable. The implications of moving part of your jawbone as far as eating is concerned, what do? Your jaw, dude, your jawbone. That's what they removed. And I said, butchers, those little butchers. But damn. Ugh. As I'm talking, you couldn't even talk. As I'm talking now, I use my jawbone. Among other things I use frequently. You're welcome, ladies. Can you imagine removing your jawbone? Damn. I still have to think about that. I mean, I'm sorry. It's hard for me to move on knowing the surgery that dude got. Shit. 10-hour surgery. The procedure which reportedly requires the partial removal of his jawbone. One, his name, by the way, I'm going to give him the credit that people should be giving him. His name is Campbell. That's his name. As well as nobody else. Ken Hudson Campbell. Even this article didn't even give. And even a director will disc him when I get closer to the article. It's a shame, and they should be ashamed of themselves. They didn't even put his name in there unless it's in the body of the story. And he could have implication for the future of his acting career. Yeah, it could have, because is that noticeable? Nobody's going to want to see a caved-in face. I'm sorry. Oh, there's jawbone people out there. Listen, jawbone people, I'm sorry. Shit. If there's a breezy, I'm sure he's not the only one who's going with the jawbone in this world, because it is a cancer. With the help of other comedians, Steve Carell and Tim Meadows and everything, they raised $88,000. And here's the diss. Here's the disrespect that I think. So anyway, it says, so they wanted to say something nice about this fuck, about this guy. So they went to, so the director, Christopher Columbus, he did a lot of stuff, and that's his name, his real name, Chris Columbus. And he did Home Alone. He is the director of Home Alone. He said initially, now this is about Ken's article, but here's what the director, he turned it into a Chris Farley one. He says, initially considered Chris Farley for the part until Farley blew the audition. And then he started going with Chris Farley. He came in, and I don't think he had gone to sleep that night. So the audition did not go particularly well, Columbus told the Independent. I regret it. I think he would have been great in the film, but I do love the guy who played Santa Claus. I do love the guy who played Santa Claus. You didn't even have the courtesy to mention the dude's name. You didn't even have the self-respect. He says, I do love the guy who played Santa. He was very funny. The guy? How about saying I do love Campbell, Kevin, you know, Campbell playing the role. The guy who played Santa? He was very funny. But I really did want him. I wanted Chris Farley. Sorry, dude. Who were you again? He was that guy. You're the fucking director, man. You didn't even give anybody the disrespect you gave him, Mr. Campbell, in this article. But anyway, you think you have problems. You know what I mean? There's always somebody else who has some other problems. There you go. And George Clooney is stricken with COVID. He was forced to direct his new film, and he had COVID. Poor George Clooney. $700 million for an athlete, man. You guys, and Richard Hurd died of cancer. So we had to cure this cancer business. It's killing way too many good people. And it's killing some bad people, too. $700 million, man. $701 million, y'all. I can't wrap my head around it for 1 year. $700 million. Oh, and here's a Consumer Report, and then we'll get to our story. You got to think twice before buying from these two stores. I'm going to name some stores. This was updated December 1st, 2023. These are stores that right now you're out shopping for your holiday dinner. These are the stores, two stores that you should not buy from. You ready? Blah. Millions of Americans who refrain from online shopping due to inflation, exploding prices, and Canada. You know, it's funny. I kind of like Black Friday because we don't have to worry about what it, shipping costs, right? I mean, that's a new thing, shipping costs. Okay, we'll ship it out to you, man. It'll be another $10. That's like saying sales tax. That's like saying you go to Walmart and the blender is $85 and they're just tacking on $10.50 because they have to put it in your car. Okay, your blender is $29, ma'am, but it'll be $10.50 for us to put it in your car. So now the blender is $40. That's the same thing as shipping costs. Anyway. Millions of Americans who refrain from online shopping due to inflation and exploding prices can now breathe a sigh of relief. Insiders finally invented an everyday helper for people who want to save big. As it spreads across the U.S., big retailers like Amazon, Walmart, and Costco are left trembling, seeing huge discounts they suddenly forced to match. The only thing you have to do is to add Capital One Shopping. There's a Capital One Shopping now? To your browser. It's a free tool that guarantees you to find the best deals out there. Who's using that? out there, we mean the whole internet, every single corner of it. The algorithm behind it is so strong that customers already refer to it as the insane deal browser extension. Everyone can use this trick to finally get great deals. Was this a commercial? That I thought it was exposing something. Shut up. They caught me. They went fishing and they caught a hook. Capital One Shopping, I thought it was a scandal, but you caught me. You're right. They hooked me. I was hooked, you fuckers. That was it. There's no more stores. Amazon doing no more free returns, so watch yourself. And they released new fees. That's it. And you guys are not interested in sports, so I can't, and I like it. That's it. I'm trying to get any of this stuff. Okay. We're going to go away from that. $701 million, man. Did anybody see the Russell Simmons thing with In Death with Graham? I want you to listen to this because black people, y'all should know who Russell Simmons is and what women did to him and accusing. Now, there's some background noise going on here. Kind of ignore it. But he got caught up in the hashtag MeToo movement. Russell Simmons came from nothing, but he's answering some allegation that some women destroyed his world. I'm going to get more copy. Listen to this segment with Russell Simmons. It's called In Death with Graham. I love this show, man. I watch it all the time. I didn't know he was going to do Russell Simmons. Here you go.
...of a wide range of misconduct, from vulgar language to assault to four instances of rape. This morning, music mogul Russell Simmons stepping away from his businesses.
Russell Simmons, now the latest big name, left to defend himself.
Nine women accused Simmons of a wide range of misconduct, from vulgar language to assault to four instances of rape.
What did he do?
He raped me right up against the wall. Excuse my language. But that's what he did. It's a secret.
Showed up, naked wearing a condom, and tackled me to his bed while I screamed and fought and said no and cried. That's right.
If the allegations are not true, why would all these women accuse you?
I heard someone else say this, you know, that I was quite frivolous. Look. There's a song by Houdini. I'm a hoe. You know, I'm a hoe. Three different girls after every show. Culturally, we thought that was the right way. And a number of sexual partners and compromising positions I put myself in is beyond anybody's imagination.
You said you had more foursomes than most men have partners.
Yeah, you know, and I think it was cultural and silly and egotistic and sad and from an insecurity that feeds it, and a lot of reasons why we were that way. If you slept with as many people as I slept with, thousands. And we're talking about six people.
My bucket's leaking.
Huh?
Look.
Oh, my gosh, Milo caught a fish.
Back to the lake. Thanks.
Six people. There were like 20, right? I mean,
I spoke poorly to 15 of them. I mean, 12 of them. I spoke poorly all the time. I'm a Def Comedy Jam guy. I was crude. So how many compromising situations was I in? And if you call that person and say, can you help me help these other women, then you can get them to tell a story and reimagine a story. And I'm not here to say what they were thinking, but I can simply tell you that I was in so many compromising situations that people can have a recollection from 30 or 40 years ago. And it can be different from my recollection. And it could be one where there was perhaps collaboration. If you had more foursomes than most guys had one, could someone leave and feel hurt? Could someone leave and feel they wish they hadn't? Could someone reimagine a story? out of thousands of people? Could someone want notoriety in a market where people thirst for fame, even infamous? Could someone who just came out of jail and want to sue you because they had an experience and they can reimagine it just a little bit different, and could you be vulnerable enough to accept it? I took 9 lie detector tests. People don't know that. 9 separate. 7 from the chairman of the Polygraph Association. 1 for each of the serious accusations. 1 for the, when someone said, for instance, I was violent. One person said that. I've never been violent. I took that. 1 for I apologize. I never apologized about insulting anyone. But if 2 people say it, because one said it and me too, and the second person said it, then I took a test for it. 3 hours per test by 2 polygraph examiners. One that I've never done this to anyone, and one I've never done to each individual. Some people say that they're not accurate, but if they're 94% accurate, I did not.
That's the background noise of whatever the fuck that is, and I think he's doing it at some kind of China retreat, and you're hearing that background noise. When I first heard it on TV, I thought my ears, something like, you know when you hear ears ringing, I thought, oh, shit, now I got this in my hearing, and it took me a while to find out it's the TV. Let me tell you about polygraphs. When you hear somebody says, I took a polygraph, well, remember the old additive. I think it's an additive. Or is that something, that goes in? Well, anyway, forget it. If you believe it, then it's true. So if you're going to give me a polygraph test to see if I was lying, but if I actually believe it, how you beat a polygraph is you actually believe it. And if you believe it is true, and you believe it's true, you're going to read. There you go. Good. So when somebody, so if you get a psychopath or a sociopath doing a polygraph, they're going to pass it. Charles Manson will pass a polygraph because if he believes it to be true, then it is. Your body's not going to go to any other rate of high or low. That's all I have to say. So when I hear, well, you know, you should do a polygraph, shut up. But this is interesting. He goes on for another couple of minutes. He brings Oprah into it.
Kind of pretty clear that I don't believe it. I even asked if, well, what if I believe it, but it's not true? He said, your subconscious will get you. I don't know how true that is, but that's what was told to me by the chairman of the Polygraph Association. He was filmed, by the way, you know, talking about this, so there's footage available. No one in the mainstream would cover that.
Why do you think that is?
There's a narrative.
Which is what?
That we don't want to go backwards. We want to believe with it.
All right. Blah, 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 blah.
But
it's very interesting. If you want to go to Russell Simmons, he breaks the silence on allegations. It's on YouTube. I'm not going to go into blah, 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 blah. 9 women accused him of sexual misconduct, from yelling at them, being vulgar at them, touching them, all that kind of thing. He says that he never went to trial. They never got a penny. The women said they don't want to comment on it. You know, it's funny. First thing, and maybe I'm just insensitive, but if you interview somebody about a rape allegation about what happened 30 years ago, and then they cry like it happened yesterday for a dramatic effect, I'm sorry, I'm cynical. Like, this is, shut up. Like, that's a lie detector. I'm reliving it, and I'm crying like it happened yesterday, and this was 30 years ago? Give me a break. Here's some of the comments on that video, Russell Simmons, from you guys. Of course, you guys are. It says, now, this is why I love Graham's interview, bro. Ask the questions and sits back and doesn't interrupt and lets the guest speak, okay? Another one says, this is why you become what other people consider successful. You have to limit your access to others in a respectful way. Here's another person said, you can't change the meaning of rape. You kidding me? And let's stop blaming things on culture. It's like blaming things on zodiac sign. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Okay, this is why you're a dumb fuck. This is why you're a dumb, and I hate people like this, and he's black, and he's a young guy, and he's a pussy. Because, you know, rape, is different than sexual assault. Let's get that. Or it could be the same, but let's get it. Now yelling at a person and being vulgar with a person, one lady was suing him because he was vulgar with her. Another, if you just slightly put your hands on a woman's butt as she walks in the club, that's sexual assault because it's unwanted touching. So let's just, it got a little confusing, it got a little gray. Rape is horrible. You know what rape is, taking a woman, having intercourse against her will in a violent manner or just in any manner, whatever. She says, no, that's it, store closed, get the fuck out, call security, and kill the motherfucker who's trying to break in. And that's it. And you future rapists out there, let me explain what it is. It's like you break it into a store and come running out with the goods. And it's the same thing with the woman. You can't. She says, no, the store is closed. You don't break in the store. You don't go in there and ravage the goods, and then you run out. No, no, no. There's not no smash and grab. Fucker should be hung and shot. That is rape. Having intercourse, as far as I'm concerned, having intercourse against one's will. It could be violently, not even violent. It doesn't have to be violent. People say, well, rape has to be violent. No, it doesn't. There's date rape that doesn't have to be violent. There's all forms of rape. I'm not going to go into that, you morons. When a woman says no, she means no. The store is closed. You can't shop. Wait till it opens up. Or go to another store with some other bakery goods. But when a woman says no, that's what it is. All my life, women said no, and I said, okay. You say no, she goes, yeah, no. Okay. Well, Brian, can we go out to dinner? No. What do you mean no? Well, the same thing is no to you. I mean, I understand no. No means no. Well, you mean we can't, and you know, and you mean you cannot go out to dinner? No. No. Oh, then you're a bastard. Whoa. Time out. Did I call you a bitch because when you said no, and you're kissing me and hugging me all up on me, grabbing my crotch, let the big giant black magic grow. And then I'm touching you, grabbing you and everything. Now, all of a sudden, when we get to the good part, you said no. I said, okay. Did I call you a bitch because you said no? No, because I respect it. So when you say, well, okay, can we go to the store and go get something to eat because it's going to cost you a lot of money? No. And then you're going to turn it around on me? Oh, you just wanted me for that. Yes, I did. Not for your brain, because you're a moron. I've had this conversation. Oh, I can't believe you. You just don't respect me. It has nothing to do with respecting me. I want to get in the honey hole. You gave me a green light. You gave me a caution light. You gave me the traffic signals. And it's like, oh, you flirted with me, green light. And then we're up there making out, caution. And then we're ready to go. You put on the red light, stop. You baited me. And I respect that. So I don't have to take you to dinner, ho. Oh, you're not a hoe yet, you bitch. Okay, you're still in that area. Oh, then you don't. Oh, that's all you want me for? Yes. Oh, then you don't respect me? No. Oh, that's all you want? Yes. And if I'm not getting that, you're not getting food, bitch. Thank you. Now we agree with each other. You're a bitch, and I'm a pervert. Okay, we got the rules together. That's who we are, and we can't see eye to eye. Bye bye. Oh, by the way, you're back in those days. You have to pay the taxi guy. I don't have change for 100. What? Bye bye. Ta ta. Ta ta. Toodaloo. What did we learn here? I don't know, but maybe we shouldn't give off signals that men or women can misconstrue, and I use that word, misconstrue. Because when you're at the heat of the moment and blood is rushing through your penis and blood is rushing through his head and blood, and then she's getting a little moist and she's like a moist little muffin, you can almost hear her get wet because you can hear the soggy in her panties. And you're hearing all those signs, but she says, no, you stop. That's what you got to do. Don't be an asshole. Here's what they're saying. Another person said, if these women are lying, then sue for defamation. Let the facts come out in court and be judged by your peers. Okay, let me tell you something, you fucking idiots. This is why, you know, anybody who does comments and anything, especially YouTube, are morons and idiots. First of all, who are you going to sue them for defamation? Do you know how much it costs to get a lawyer? and they don't have any money, what are you going to sue? They have no money whatsoever. So it's going to cost you $1 million, $2 million, $5 million to get a lawyer to sue them for defamation. To sue for what? You win. Now, what are you going to sue them for? And how are you going to collect it? This is where idiots come into play. Be a person who's voting for the wrong party in an election year. Here's another man. I believe in Kimora. I guess that's one of the women. I believe Russell's daughters. I believe Drew Dixon. I don't know why so many people, mostly men, think that it's implausible that Russell is every bit of the manipulator, monster, and abuser that his accusers say he is. Those who doubt those brave women victims should watch the documentary On the Record, and I believe that. And you have to believe, you know, there used to be a thing when that woman thing, hashtag Me Too. Hashtag Me Too, it wants you to think that no woman lies. No woman would lie for money. Oh, hell no. They would not lie. They will. You got to believe every allegation. And Oprah did the same. Anytime a woman comes forward, you have to believe her because she will never lie for money. But yet they don't take it to criminal court. They take it to civil court. That's your first thinking. Because if somebody, if I'm walking down the street, it's like I'm walking down the street, and they go, hey, dude. And I said, what, dude? And then they hit me over the head, drive me in the alley. Next thing I know, I wake up, and my pants are down around my ankles, and my butt hits the cement, and I'm wondering, and my butt's bleeding. And I'm going to go, oh, my God, my butt's bleeding. And I see some guys laughing as walking down the street. Guess what? I'm taking a picture, and I'm going to the cops. That guy raped my ass. Look at my ass. There's blood all over my ass. I'm not going to civil court. Oh, he may have some money. First, I'm going to kill him. But if I was a decent guy, I'm calling the cops. If I was raped, criminal. But you don't want to go criminal. You want the money. There you go. Russell Simmons, you are not a great guy. You are innovative. Some people call you a hero. You are not a hero. You're a thug. But you made a lot of money. And you were there at the right time. Women would come after you, and that's about it. So quit your bitching, too. You know, I want to go to church. I went to, the best church to go to, I'm going to tell you, is Catholic Mass. You know, you do the Mass, and nobody puts on a better show than the Catholics, man. You go to Mass around Christmas time, oh, my God, it's beautiful. It is beautiful. You almost feel like when that choir sings, you almost feel like you're in heaven. You're in heaven. Headline. Bishop explains difficult decision for diocese of Sacramento to file for bankruptcy. Beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you know why you don't see snowmen in front of a Catholic church? It's because it has no snowballs. The Catholic priests suck the snowballs from the snowmen, and that's it. They have no snowballs. It's abuse. It's really sad to see an abused snowman. They have no snowballs at all. Amid hundreds of lawsuits accusing clergy of sexual abuse, the Catholic that's it, folks. Diocese of Sacramento announced on Saturday it intends to file for bankruptcy. Bishop Jamie Soto said he believes it is the most transparent, fair and respectful way to address all the claims. You know, we should call Catholic people today. We used to make live shows. We used to make live phone calls. And we called some of the Catholic charities, and we called the Catholic Church. We should call a Catholic church to see if they will answer any questions. We have done this before every year, and we have had some great people on the air. We did. We had such a cool sister on the air about 2 years ago, man. She was so fucking cool. When we called her and said it was happy, what was it? It was happy orgasm. It was orgasm week. And we called one of the church and we got a sister. I forgot who she was. And you could, she was from Boston. I remember her accent. She was so fucking cool. She got on the phone. I said, happy orgasm day. She goes, oh, my. Thank you. She was so fucking cool. God, I love that woman. She was a nun. Do nuns have orgasms? They probably do. They are women. You don't hear a lot of nuns having lesbian lawsuits. You don't hear that. So maybe the nuns are more holier than thou than the men? Because you don't hear that many scandals about nuns. Amid hundreds of lawsuits accusing clergy of sexual abuse, Bishop Jamie Soto said he believes it is most transparent, fair, and respectful way to address all the claims. Of course, then he says, sign up for our newsletter. It's a very dark legacy in our history. Really? In our history? Really? Duh. And we have to respond for that, Bishop Soto said. And I have to, as bishop, I have to try to make amends for that. Let me give you a hug. Here you go, you little abused bastard. Shut up, you came too fast. You enjoyed it. Get away from me. Here's a rosy bleed and say 25 Hail Marys and God will forgive you. Get out of here, you little bastard. You little spitter. And you did spit, too. It's so rude to spit on the priest. You swallow that shit. I can almost feel Melissa going, oh my, I can almost feel Melissa. Let's see, I'm so crude. A court, it would oversee the distribution of assets, the clergy, and or other church staff. It said a court would oversee the distribution of assets, dividing things up as equally possible among survivors under Chapter 11 of the Bankruptcy Code. So they're going to file for bankruptcy to pay off the people. Otherwise, the diocese said funds would be exhausted with the first case that go to trial, leaving the rest of the survivors with nothing. However, the survivors network of the, oh, they have a survivors network. Oh, okay. I'm going to have to look that up. Huh. You should have never gave me ammunition. I'm going to call them live. The survivor, the little whiny bitches. The survivor network of those abused by priests called SNAP. And that's not gay enough. You tell me what's not gay. SNAP. Does not see it that way. I don't think that filing for bankruptcy is a way of making amends to those survivors, said Melanie Saguga. She says she is concerned that bankruptcy protection will limit the assets available to survivors and limit the transparency. It'll make a big difference in what information becomes available to the public about it. So maybe SNAP is what I'm looking for, too. Make a live call. People, Melissa is a big fan of live calls. No, she's not. But,
no, it's not. Good.
I know this is really sensitive for most to go, stop it, I'm Catholic, leave me alone. But
no,
sometimes we
needs to be done.
Yeah, sometimes we break news here. You would not be to believe, you would not know it, but we do. She says it'll make a big difference in what information becomes available to the public, speaks out the practitioners who abused the diocese, and who I just fucked up, just screwed up this whole story. The bishop said he will intend to be as transparent as he can and said the decision to file for bankruptcy was a tough one. Really? I'm sure people are going to be mad at me or mad at the church, and there will be some people who will blame the victims or blame the attorneys. Really, Bishop Soto? I wonder where he is. I want to talk to him. Instead, He is calling on the Catholic community to pray for the survivors. I wonder how many, think about it for a minute, I wonder how many survivors were praying when they got raped by priests. I wonder how many young boy survivors who are closing their eyes, putting their hands together while priest Cockhold got a hold of them and shoving it up his little baby bum. And what was going through the head of that little boy as he was praying that this was over, had this sweaty, fat fuck with a collar on, abusing his little tiny butthole. Did he pray? You think they prayed? Because this Catholic priest is asking, this bishop is asking you to pray. Let's pray for the survivors. Really? The Catholic community to pray for the survivors, saying that it is sickening, it's a sickening sin of sexual abuse and the failure of church leadership to address it appropriately. The Diocese of Sacramento said that a significant number of claims followed a 2020 California law which created a 3-year window for adult victims who were abused as minors to file civil lawsuits that otherwise would have been possible because of how long ago the alleged incidents occurred. About 80% of the current cases involve allegations that date back in the 1980s or earlier. That's according to the Diocese of Sacramento. You're saying since the 1980s there has not been another abuse? He says 80% of it is. I'm going to leave the 20% out because a couple of strays wandering around. This is just the latest bankruptcy announcement. The Diocese of San Francisco, Oakland, Stockton, Santa Rosa have already filed for bankruptcy. That's California, by the way. The Diocese of San Diego had also announced that it planned to do the same. You know, I have to ask Melissa, and I don't know. Is Valley Brethren dead? Wait a minute. What's going on with Valley Brethren? What's going on? It was another fishing thing. They caught me again. That's the second time they fucking caught me. Melissa, you're a Catholic girl. Cindy's Catholic, too.
Yep.
Just when all these allegations were going on and everything, tell me, your kids, you got kids and you got grandkids and everything, would you point them towards a particular religion, or if they wanted to be Catholic, would you, if they ask you, Mommy, I want to go to Mass on Christmas Eve, because do a beautiful Mass, would you kind of give them away from that, or what would you do, knowing all this history?
Well, I don't think it's the religion that caused the sexual abuse. Maybe it did.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what they asked me, sure.
Mm.
Yeah.
But can you believe them? I mean, can you believe what they're preaching and taught? I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm not going to go any further.
I don't know.
I can't understand it. Well, there you go. So all over, they're going into New York, they're filing for bankruptcy, they're going to Buffalo, they're filing for bankruptcy, New Jersey, they're filing for bankruptcy, Maine, they're filing for bankruptcy, Boston, they're filing for bankruptcy, blah, blah, blah. And the Catholic Church cannot afford all these settlements. They cannot afford to pay them off. There's so many out there. And that tells you the story.
Yeah.
It tells you a story. Mm-hmm. And it's a sad story. And we're going to make a live call. As newspaper people, this is SNAP. No, that's a food thing. How do I get to it? That's not it. Let's see if there's a Survivors Network. Let's see if that is, and I can get the phone number during the break. Because something about making a live call turns me on. The Home, the Abortion Network, Survivor Network. Wow, I didn't know they had one. They have the Abortion Survivor Network. What is the Home Abortion Survivor Network? Where is that? Baby Survived Abortions? Where these were people who were aborted but didn't get quite aborted all the way? It says here, it's hard to gasp. Well, that leads me to another story. It's hard to to grasp the impact of abortion, all right? Here's what we know. Most people do not realize that sometimes abortion procedures fail or are stopped or reverse abortion pill, and survivors exist. Our research estimates that 85,000 infants have been born alive after failed abortion since 1973. The average number of abortion survivors each year is approximately 1,734. Okay, now 1,700, you may go, ah, no. If you're going nationwide, 1,070, that's like 0.2%, if that. You know what I mean? Worldwide, we're talking, is this a nationwide? Even if it's nationwide, it's 0.2%. It says, are you the survivor? The Abortion Survivor Network has a message for you. We see you, we care about you, and we understand. With over 640 abortion survivors located already, you are not alone. No matter what you've been through, we are here. Oh, you whining little bitch. Okay, let's listen to the Survivor Network. I'm not a believer so far. I'm not a believer, but here it is. I just came on this story. Literally. Thank you. Only a few people will get what I just said. Never mind what I said. National Library of Medicine, an abortion procedure to end a pregnancy. It's used medicine or surgery to remove the embryo or fetus and placenta from the uterus. The procedure is done by a licensed healthcare professional. Here's a woman who claimed that she's a survivor. I don't know anything about the story, but let's listen to this because it could be interesting.
What's your story?
Let me see. Okay, that's just an advertisement. Abortion survivor, huh? I wonder how many people are.
The shoes of other people and helps us understand things in a way that we never could otherwise. Everybody has a story, and I think most families have a secret. I grew up thinking I led a pretty normal life. When I was 14 years old, my parents had to tell me something that I don't think any parent ever wants to share, and that was our family secret about abortion. My mom said to me that night, "Missy, your biological mother had an abortion during her pregnancy with you, and you survived it." Our culture has hidden the truth about how babies survive abortions, and our culture has left us unsupported. And for many of us, sitting in a place of shame and having to grapple on this journey on our own out of fear that anybody else is going to figure out that you have a story. We may think we know somebody or their story, but I don't think we can even begin to imagine sometimes the depths of other people's suffering. And when it comes to abortion, people's stories are so much more complex.
When I was 18 years old, I found myself pregnant. I never viewed the baby as a human. I viewed the baby just as a problem. I had the procedure started.
I had that experience. One woman called me and said that, Brian, I go, yeah. She goes, Brian. I said, yeah. She goes, Brian. I go, yeah. You have a daddy. You are now a daddy. And I said, I never viewed him as human. I never had no ties to the babies whatsoever. And I feel the same way, so I can identify her. I didn't think they were human, the little bastards. All they want to do is get money, and I cannot relate to them. I cannot relate to the little me. So they're roaming around the woods and hoping the state and the country will take care of them as they should, because I am irresponsible. Thank you. Let's continue this story.
I finally told my boyfriend, William, if you'll come to Dallas and be with me, then I'm 95% sure I won't have the abortion. When I got off the elevator, he was standing there. He went with me into the doctor's office. and I told him that I had changed my mind.
She was desperate. She didn't have any place to go. She was 18 years old. I didn't want to lose that baby. We just tried to love her, you know, as part of our family.
She was born at 8:23 in the morning. She was 13 weeks premature. Lauren's the one that made me a mom.
I remember coming home from a youth trip, and I was unpacking. My mom came into my room, and she told me that when she found out she was pregnant, she decided that she wanted to have an abortion. My mom is so brave and so courageous for sharing that part of her life.
She was brave and courageous to tell you that you were part of an partial abortion. She was so brave. Are you kidding me? You know, there's some things, you know, what is this confession that makes us feel better? There's some things you just don't say to, hey, kid, come here, I want to tell you something. Yes, Daddy, you know, we tried to abort your stupid ass. Huh? Yeah, we tried to suck you up and kill you. Why, Daddy? Because I didn't want you and your mother didn't want you. But guess what? You survived. And now, you know, we're so proud of you. Well, not really. You dropped out of school, you take drugs, and you steal cars. But we didn't expect you to do this much. I mean, that's progress because we were going to abort your ass. Okay, now go run along and be happy with your friends. And then he's going to tell his friends, oh, guess what? My parents are so courageous. Why? What did they say? They said I was a partial abortion, but I survived. Oh, your parents are so cool, dude. Yeah, they're so cool. My parents just had me, but, you know, they tried to kill you and you came out alive. Dude, you're strong, man. You're a stud, dude. Now let's go rob a liquor store. Come on. Is that really being brave? Do we put that in front of that? We tried to kill you, and you're so brave and courageous. Are you fucking kidding me? You tried to kill me.
She was pregnant. She decided that she wanted to have an abortion. My mom is so brave and so courageous for sharing that part of her life.
The mission of the Abortion Survivors Network is to end the generational trauma of abortion by saving the lives of survivors.
Shut up. How do they find out who are telling these kids, you know what, kid, we're going to abort you? This is a non-abortion survivor network. What kind of parents would say that to their kids? I'm so proud of you. You graduated from Yale. You're an engineer, and just think that you're aborted, but I'm glad you survived. What parent will do this? A vindictive, nasty, okay, that's enough. That's pissing me off. What is it, Abortion Survivor Network? Okay, let's call them. What parent would do that to a child and tell a child that? Am I wrong here? Okay, what are the comments? These are where I want to hear the compliment, the comments. Am I the only one thinking this? Nope. They won't. There's no comments at it because it's bullshit. What's her name? Okay, whatever. Let's see if I can find that. She is such a bitch. Do we even have a network like this? I mean, what is the support on this? Well, you're adult and you're trying. What is she doing? I got to find out what kind of group this is. I really do now. The Abortion Survivors Network. We are an abortion survivor or someone whose life has been impacted by one. The Abortion Survivor Network is here for you, providing you, really. And it says, and here's our story. This is our story. This is their story about us. These are a bunch of crazy-ass people. Of course, they showed the video. And it says, Abortion Survivor Network is like an oasis, a safe place for survivors. Safe place for survivors, you're born. You go to school like anybody else. You get a degree, you get a job. What do you mean survive? What are you surviving? What trauma do you have? You were a kid. You don't know any. This is a bunch of cuckoos. here it is, where there is life, there is hope. Facing the aftermath of a failed, stopped, or even a successful reverse abortion can be over. Reverse abortion? Never heard of it. Anyway, can be overwhelming, uncertain, and a lifetime journey, we understand. Led by an abortion survivor, okay, and supported by an experienced team, we're uniquely qualified to lead and serve. Lead what? Our mission is clear, to end the generational, I'm sorry, I've been drinking, it's holiday, trauma of abortion by saying the lives of abortion survivors at the first choice of intervention, offering answers, hope, support, relationship, healing, here's how we make a difference. Okay, here's how we're making a difference. We provide truth and hope. What? We offer a beacon of light. What? For women navigating failed, stop, or reverse abortions. You're not alone. We're here to guide you. What? Bridging the research gap. We're dedicated to filling the gaps in knowledge about short and long-term outcomes for abortion survivors and women. Their experience matter. Evidence-based support. Our programs are rooted in best practices, ensuring women, survivors, and families receive the highest standard of care and information. I'm confused. Are they saying that the people who are they saying that the mothers are feeling trauma and they help them, or are you helping the survivors? Are you saying survivors? Who do we serve? Oh, now I should have went a little further. Who do we serve? Moms who experience a failed, stop, or reverse abortion. Adoptive parents providing love and care for survivors. The brave survivors themselves. Both children and adults. Professional and policymakers who need information, real life stories, and data. Anchors of static research, we're committed to blah, 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 blah. Babies survive abortions. Women need answers, help, and hope. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, there's the phone number. Oh, yes, there is. Yes, and I'm going to call these motherfuckers. I don't believe in it. I think it's bullshit. I think they're trying to traumatize people. But yet, I don't know. So I'm going to make a phone call.
I believe it. Why wouldn't you believe it? I believe it.
I don't know how to, what do you mean? What do you believe?
I believe that it can happen.
But what can happen? That you believe that a parent can actually tell a child that their abortion failed on them and that they,
and I'm going to bring this up to you, and it's really gross,
okay,
but it's pretty funny.
I always tell
you about Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which you've never watched.
I love that
show.
But
Charlie was an abortion survivor. And Frank Reynolds, Danny DeVito, was his father.
Oh, I think I remember that.
He's an abortion survivor. So it can happen.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But how did he know that he was an abortion survivor?
Because the mother was disgusted by him. He was an abortion survivor. She didn't want to be pregnant by Frank, and she went to have an abortion, and then Charlie came.
Let me see if I can get that segment. Let me see if I can pull
abortion
up that segment.
Abortion, swear to God.
I just want to pull up that segment.
That is the craziest show ever.
Charlie survived an abortion.
Charlie's
okay,
an abortion survivor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's that scene. You ready? This is Frank. I don't really know the characters. I guess Frank's mother is telling him, having a talk with him. And Charlie survived an abortion. Here we go. Let's see what this plays out.
Frank doesn't know the truth.
Anyway, all right, you didn't have an abortion. You just told him you did. I get that.
No, I had an abortion. It just didn't take.
What does that mean?
It means you survived it. You survived the abortion.
What the hell are you talking about, Mom?
We went to one of those clinics, one of those underground clinics, because Frank didn't want to spend a lot of money.
Yeah?
And I had the procedure, and then they told me you were dead.
Okay.
And then 3 months later, you popped out. happy as a clam.
Sweetie, I had to keep it a secret from Frank. I never wanted the abortion in the first place.
But he was married, and I knew if he found out, he would have forced me to get rid of you once and for all.
He would have made me throw you in a dumpster.
Show us. Mom! That show is one funny. That is one funny show, man.
It is. It's the best. I love that show. So when you brought it up, like, all I could think of was the abortion survivor, Charlie. He would have been thrown in a dumpster.
Mom.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
well,
there you go. That was awesome.
Okay. Yeah. Well, are you curious? Are you curious about what they do, Melissa?
Sure, yeah.
All right. Would you like to ask a question? Let me see
no.
if I can get them.
No.
Oh, jeez. Okay. All right. I'll do the leg work on this one. You know, Melissa, you know, I don't know how, when I call out of the studio, I don't know how it appears on their phone. Does it say the Brian Hammer Network show or whatever? Or does it disappear as a...
It do
you know
as a number, Oliver. Is it... Yeah, throw it in the trash. Is it Iowa?
Now it's in Washington. They changed it. It used to be Iowa. Now they changed it to is in Washington.
Yeah, that shows up. It's, yeah.
But it doesn't show up as our network or anything, my name
absolutely
or anything?
Absolutely not. No.
Good. Okay. Should I mute you? Because I'm going to call them right
now. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, babe. I'll be right back. I will call Melissa babe sometimes because she's a morning crew, but she's also a babe. Laverne's a babe, too. There's babes all around. All right, let's call. Let's see if anybody answers the Abortion Network. Hello?
Thank you for contacting the Abortion Survivors Network. Please choose from the following options so that we can best serve you. If you are calling for issues that are administrative, requests for media or interviews, speaking engagements, or policy-related matters, please dial extension 0. If you are calling to speak to a coordinator of the healing or community programs or education and outreach to abortion survivors and families, please dial extension 700. Thank you.
Yes. Roll me over because I can't push any buttons. Let's see.
Hello, and thank you for contacting the Abortion Survivors Network. We thank you for your patience as we direct your call.
Oh, good. You can direct me. And as we do when we make our calls, they put us on hold for music. We use their music as background. Hello. You may hear this funny music because you're listening to Brian.
Thank you for calling the
show.
Abortion Survivor Network. One moment, please.
Yes, hi. What?
Thank you for calling the Abortion Survivors Network. This is Haley speaking. How may I help you?
Hi, Haley. I just want to get some information. My name is Benny. The reason I'm calling, I'm just trying to get some information what your company does, because I know some people right now, we're caught up in an abortion issue, and I do know a person who claims that their parents told him that they got an abortion, but he survived. I didn't think there was such a service as yours. Can you tell me what you guys provide?
So if you're requesting additional services, I can definitely have someone give you a call back. What's your name?
Benny, but they won't be able to call me back because right now I'm on vacation. I'm in Maine. I usually live in Los Angeles, and I really don't want anybody to call me back on this phone. So is there any information
I
can
look at?
Do you want
me to email you?
No.
We can just email you.
No, I don't want any kind of literature. I'm telling you something. This is very, how do you call it, touchy. And I'm just thinking I could call you guys, get a general information what you do, and if it's what I think you guys do, I can give him the number so he can call you and you can give him all the literature, because I'm a third party trying to just get some information if this is a right approach for him to go to a certain place.
So what we do is we provide healing support to survivors of abortion attempts and their family while also providing education and outreach to the public. We're a nonprofit.
Okay, you guys are great. Now, you say you're a nonprofit. Do you take donations? Is there counseling involved? Is it free? Is it a free?
So I'm not 100% sure, just because I don't know too much about it. I just answer the phones and I get people sent over
right.
to get more information. If you have someone reach out to us, we're more than happy to have to give them a call back and be discreet.
Sure. Okay. So can you give me your website so I can take a look at what you have to offer? I don't want to put you under any pressure or anything, because you're being really nice.
No, you're okay. www.abortionsurvivors.org.
Okay, .org, and I can get the information from there. And you're a nonprofit. How long have you been around?
Not too long. I don't really know. I just started. I'm sorry. I'm still kind of new.
Well, you're doing a great job. And, you know, it's funny because do a lot of parents really admit that to their kids? And I thought I was unique because I'm hearing this. But do a lot of parents admit to their kids that they were aborted but they survived? I mean, I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, were you working there, I'm sure you have the information. And were you one of the survivors? Because usually they place people as the survivors.
No.
Okay.
I wasn't. At least I don't know yet.
Right. Okay.
But all of our information should be under, and then it should say who we are, and then you could go to About Us.
Right.
And then we have the Survivors tab, advocacy, supporters. We do donations, volunteers. We have events. So any questions that you might have should be up there, okay?
You have events? Oh, okay. Do you have any event that's near me right now? I'm going to be I'm visiting friends in Maine. I'm be going to Los Angeles soon. I would love to attend some of your events. I'm on your website right now, abortionsurvivors.org.
So we don't have any coming up. So we don't have any planned. Definitely going to have some coming up in the new year.
Oh, you are. Okay. Well, that's pretty good. And it says contact Melissa. Is Melissa like your president there? Because I'm looking under speakers.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So is there any way I could contact her directly? The number?
So you would have to do that through there. She doesn't have a number. You would have to go through there, our website.
I see. Well, you've been a great help, and keep going with the good fight. And I hope they pay you good because you're doing a good service. I was just curious. God forbid, I'm hoping you're not an abortion person. You know, your parents love you. You're a good person. And if you did survive, way to go. I mean, that's why I don't know what to say. Right on, sister. keep doing what you're doing.
I appreciate that. I hope you have a great day. You're welcome.
You
have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. That's the information that I know.
My God.
What do you say?
If you did survive, thank God. Congratulations to you.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what to say. Go team.
Well,
right on. I don't know.
Wow.
The information that I got, you're listening, Melissa. It sounds like they're very new. The person answering the phone, she just started. She doesn't know whether she is an abortion survivor or not, but yes, she's doing the cause. They are a nonprofit, so they do take donations. I was looking at their events. They don't really have any. They have no events whatsoever.
I was really surprised when she said she wasn't sure if she
I know,
was an
right?
abortion survivor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, what do you mean you're not sure? If you work in Abortion Survivor Network, seemed like you would have had some kind of experience while asking your parents, what do you mean you're not sure? What is that answer, I'm not sure? What do you mean you're not sure?
She didn't ask.
Maybe it's time for you to find out. I mean, see, you know,
wow.
This smells of cult. See, I didn't want to say it. It smells of cult all over the place. You know what I mean? It smells like some holistic hippie, you know, got this thing, and then and there's always people to join, you know, a cause because of, well, my mom told me that her name was, you know what is funny? When I looked on the website, it said Melissa, but it did not give her last name.
Mm.
It did not give her last name. It said Melissa. Now, that also brought up a red light to me. I'm sorry, it did. Contact us, and it says right here. Contact Melissa starts speak. Contact Melissa. It says contact Melissa. It doesn't give Melissa's last name. It doesn't give Melissa's anything. Melissa's the one that's on, happened to be on the YouTube. You can watch it. It says Melissa, O-H-D-E-N, Melissa Oden. That's who she is. Here she is on YouTube. She's doing a March of Life thing. In 1977, Melissa's biological mother was a 19-year-old college student when she had a saline infusion. This was an abortion that was meant to end Melissa's life. Although her biological mother thought that she was less than 5 months pregnant when she had the abortion, the fact that Melissa survived and weighed only 3 pounds indicates that her biological mother was much further along in her pregnancy than she realizes. In fact, when Melissa obtained her medical records in 2007, that detailed the abortion procedure that she survived. One of the first notations by a doctor after she survived was that she looked like she was approximately 31 weeks gestation. So she was in there 31 weeks. What is 31 weeks? 4 weeks is a month. 4 times 5, 4 times 6, 4 times 7. So she was in there 7 months? She had a 7-month abortion? No, I have to be wrong. Am I right? 31 weeks, isn't that 7 months? Do the math. Despite the initial concerns that doctors had regarding her ability to survive, today Melissa has not only survived but thrived, as do thousands and thousands of abortion survivors. How do they know this? I mean, how do they? Although Melissa grew up knowing that she was adopted and loved, she didn't find out the truth about being an abortion survivor until she was 14 years old. Finding out the truth about her life changed her forever. As a result, the world. Really? Melissa ultimately went searching for answers about her survival and her biological family, and since 2007, she has had contact with both sides of the biological family in varying degrees. Melissa's unification with her birth mother, Ruth, is an encouragement to so many who have been impacted by abortion and even adoption. This story is more than just one impacted about abortion, it's one impacted by love. Copies of Melissa's birth records, which chronicles the abortion attempt that was meant to end her life, and more information about Melissa's survival. So you can get that on your birth records? They can put the procedure in your birth records? Really? Wow. And now she has a ministry. Didn't I say it smelled of cult? I told you it smelled of cult. I can smell a cult a mile away. That smells like a cult. I can smell a cult a mile away. It says here, more information about Melissa's survival, her ministry, and her work to extend love and forgiveness to all who are past. She's going to extend love and forgiveness for people who ended your life. I knew it. I knew it. You know, when mere mortal people says, you know, we're going to, in our ministry, we're going to send you love and forgiveness to all who are impacted by abortion, including her own biological family, can be found on her personal website. And we're going to send forgiveness to her, you guys doing it. Melissa's a pro-life speaker. She's a leader. She's an advocate and social worker who often appears on television and radio shows such as Fox News, Focus on the Family, the 700 Club, 100 Huntley, South Street, EWTN, Life News, One America, News Hannity. Melissa is the author of You Carried Me, A Daughter's Memoir, her second book, which will focus on other abortions. She's a nutcase. That's Melissa. Here she is right here. Here's your Fox News bitch and your pro-lifer. Melissa, here, let's listen to her. Here she is.
Let's make history today, shall we? The president started us off well. 47 years ago, the Supreme Court handed down the decision meant to be my death sentence. Unfortunately, in 1977, my biological mother had a saline infusion abortion forced upon her. Over a five-day period, I soaked in a toxic salt solution.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. Forced upon her? Really? Who put a gun to her head that gave her that abortion? What hospital, what doctor, what surgeon put a gun to her head and forced her to have an abortion? Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Period. I soaked in a toxic salt solution being poisoned. Over a five-day period, I soaked in a toxic salt solution being poisoned and scalded to death. But 42 years ago, God said no, not this child.
I don't think it was God. I think it was Satan. Don't confuse the two. Satan saved you, not God. Here you go.
And I was accidentally born alive, weighing a little less than 3 pounds and facing a guarded future. But time after time, people said yes. Yes, Lord, we will not allow her to be left to die. Yes, we will love her. Years later, my birth mother and many members of my birth parents' families also would say yes. Yes, we love her too. Yes, we will be reconciled, and we have been. I am so blessed to have survived an abortion, to be loved into life by my adoptive parents, to be a wife and a mother to two amazing daughters, one of whom is here today. Olivia, you are so loved. And now to be reunited with my birth mother, Ruth, and many members of her family who know that they are forgiven and that I love them. And contrary to what our culture that has been so deeply impacted by abortion says, abortion didn't empower my birth mother. It certainly didn't empower me. It didn't empower my own daughters who never would have lived if that abortion would have succeeded in ending my life. Life is what has empowered each and every one of us. Life is what has allowed healing. Life is what brought forth love and forgiveness. And life is what allowed the pain of our family to be transformed into purpose. Life empowers us all. And on behalf of my entire family, on behalf of the 300 survivors we've worked with through the Abortion Survivors Network, I thank you. Thank you for everything you do to restore a culture of life where women are supported, families are encouraged, children are protected, future generations will flourish. I can see the end of Roe versus Wade, can't you? But to get the...
Yeah, yay. I can see the end of Roe versus Wade. Yay, women can no longer make a choice. Yay, it's not my body, it's the government's body. Yay, it's not your choice, it's God's choice. Yay.
Isn't that irony, but not really, that Fox News spotlighted her? That fucking network. Give me a break.
I know.
Really?
I know. I smell a cult-like thing, and I don't know if it's even true. Maybe it is true. I'm sorry if you went through it, but how do you know?
Because the medical records told her that, right?
I guess. Oh, yeah, if you're adopted, you want to see your records, and maybe they had it in their records. Okay, that's understandable. But I'm surprised they put it in your medical records. Well, I guess they would have to. It is a procedure. If anybody knows anything about health, it is a procedure.
Does she have burns on her or anything? Does she look weird?
No, she looks normal. She looks good.
Okay.
You can see her. She's on YouTube. All you have to do is go to Melissa Ohden, O-H-D-E-N, and it's March for Life. There she is, O-H-D-E-N, Melissa O-H-D-E-N, 2020 March for Life, and this is a speech. You'll see her. And for those of you who can't, we'll finish this. We've got two more minutes of this. Here we go.
Okay.
You know, I think the world needs to face what abortion has done, who abortion has affected. I am more than a choice. I am more than someone else's reproductive right. I am a human being. and so are the other survivors of abortion. Would you like to meet some of them? I know you would. It's time for our world to come face-to-face with the choice of abortion, and I'm thrilled to unveil to you today this groundbreaking independent work we've been featured in, produced by Faces of Choice.
There you go. And on the other side is yet this woman in Texas right now is going through some shit because she's trying to, the doctors told her that the fetus or the baby, whatever, that she is carrying can hurt her and possibly she'll lose her life. And possibly if she go ahead and keep the baby or have the baby born, she will never be able to have children again. She's in Texas. And the lower court says she should have abortion, but then they held it. They put a hold on it because Texas is saying, wait a minute. I don't care if your life is in danger. I don't care if when you have this baby that you will be sterile for the rest of your life because it's going to fuck up your insides. You cannot kill this baby. And it's, and that's what's going on right now. Melissa, are you up on this story about this Texas woman?
Not really. No, not really. But wait a minute, why is this particular pregnancy so bad, but she can have more children?
Well, that's what they said.
That's what you'll have to find out.
Texas woman denied life-saving abortion. Here it is. Here's the story. Poor bitch, woman.
Wow.
Texas, today, remember, it's gay as fuck day. And that's what we gay men call women bitches. That's what we do.
Oh,
remember,
that's rude. It's a gingerbread man.
What do you want?
Oh, sorry. He's decorating the tree. I'm sorry.
Okay. Texas
Oliver
Supreme
my,
Court
my
temporarily.
Decorator.
Oh, okay. Way to go, Ollie. Texas Supreme Court temporarily halts ruling allowing Dallas woman to get an abortion. And here it is. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has asked the Supreme Court to intervene and stop this Dallas woman from having an abortion. Like there's nothing else going on? Okay, good. They petitioned the High Court just before midnight Thursday after a Travis County District Judge granted a temporary restraining order allowing Kate Cox, 31, to terminate her non-viable pregnancy. On Friday, the Supreme Court temporarily halted the lower court's order, but did not rule on the merits of the case. The court said it will rule on a temporary restraining order, but did not specify when. While we hope that the court ultimately rejects the state's request and does so quickly, in this case, we fear that justice delayed will be justice denied, said Cox's lawyer. This is the first time an actively pregnant adult woman has gone to court to get an abortion since before Roe versus Wade was decided in 73. In the petition, Paxton asked the Texas Supreme Court to rule quickly, saying that each hour the temporary restraining orders remains in place is an hour that plaintiffs believe themselves free to perform a procedure and elective abortion. Is this the same? No, this is a stupid commercial. Related video. Let me see. Okay, here it goes. And you're going to hear it from a conservative guy. Here you go.
Conservative guy.
I don't hear it. Conservative guy's not talking. Oh, here he is. Hold on.
Doctors have told.
Oh, that's next.
All right. For most Texans, the correct and justifiable course of action is crystal clear. Doctors have told Kate Cox, the child she's been carrying for 20 weeks, will almost certainly die, likely within a matter of hours, if she brings her pregnancy to term. Doctors have also offered testimony that...
Oh, that's another thing. They said even if the baby is born, the baby will die within hours. And how the baby's going to die is suffocation, and his heart will slowly stop. So the baby's going to die a really crucial death. That's what's going on here. And the court saying, and the lady goes, please give me an abortion. I don't even want to carry this child because at the end of the pregnancy, the baby's going to have hours to live and will die a crucial, horrible death. Can you imagine the psychological profile of your mom, of a person saying, why should her baby die? And carrying that baby in her every single day. Your baby's kicking, the baby's alive. She's going through the pregnancy knowing that that baby's a dead baby. It's going to be born, and it's going to have maybe hours to live. And you get to see it. You'll see the suffering of that baby. You'll feel that the baby can't get any air, and it will slowly suffocate and die, probably in your arms. Or worse, die somewhere else. They'll put them in a corner, and then they'll come back to you, and the nurse will give you the news. Your baby is dead. Can you imagine living through that? I mean, don't think I'm overacting, because this is basically what it is. Listen.
Within a matter of hours if she brings her pregnancy to term. Doctors told Kate Cox the child she's been carrying for 20 weeks will almost certainly die, likely within a matter of hours if she brings her pregnancy to term. Doctors have also offered testimony that Kate Cox's health and future fertility are at grave risk if she does not undergo an abortion. With the procedure all but completely outlawed in Texas, State District Judge Maya Guerra was asked to rule.
The idea that Ms. Cox wants desperately to be a parent, and this law might actually cause her to lose that ability, is shocking and...
It sounds like it's background music, but okay.
Would be a genuine miscarriage of justice. So I will be signing the order. It will be processed and sent out today.
Enter Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who issued a letter following Judge Guerra's ruling threatening prosecution of any physician or medical facility which provides Cox with the procedure her doctors say is essential for preserving their patients' health and ability to bear children in the future. Panel, the Texas Supreme Court has now intervened and put Cox's medically necessary abortion on hold until it can consider the Attorney General's claim. All right, Sue, what do you make of this?
This is a decision that's to be made between the woman who's carrying the child, their family, and their doctor. And those are the people that should be making the decisions, not any court, not anybody else, but making the decisions about this family. Because if it is so, even if they're saying, well, we want you to carry the child, it may die inside of you or it may die right after, but your health is in what happens to her other children and the rest of her family. What happens to them? So this is a decision between her doctor, her family, not have anything to do. Court should not be making this decision.
Okay, we've got one lawyer on the panel.
With all due respect, in Texas we have a heartbeat law, so what Sue said is not the law of Texas. I think that the proper action were taken by the lady and her family by going to court and asking for a court order, which she got. And I think the court's logic on its face sounds like appropriate under the exceptions of our law. And I also think it's probably appropriate for the Attorney General to challenge because he wants to clarify. I mean, I think it needs to be clarified, and that's why the Supreme Court took the case and not go to the Interim Court of Appeals because they need to get this done pretty quickly. So I anticipate if a doctor, and it seems like, and I read the pleadings, if you believe the movement, the doctors have said this is the physical health of the mother that's at stake. Well, that's one of the exceptions. So I would anticipate the Supreme Court's going to allow physical health of the mother, and the abortion will be allowed to go forward.
I just hope that everybody can access legal help to make that plea.
Okay. Well, here you have it. What is her name again? Her name is Cox attorney. Was it Elise? What's her full name? Was in News Now. Her name is Kate Cox. So in the name of decency, every woman should say her name and give her support. So every woman should have a cock in their mouth just for humanity. and to say support, they should support Cox. Yeah. Support Cox, ladies. A cock is a terrible thing to waste. Maybe I need a segment of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Check it out, man. I got some cool stuff. I got some green paint, and I found a snake.
Great. Why?
You know, the snakes, because, like, we I don't remember where we landed on St. Patty, but I remember snakes were involved, and the green paint's for the beer.
Okay, love the snake. Great catch there. But why not just use food coloring for the beer?
Because beer's not a food. When was the last time you ate a beer?
When was the last time you drank paint? Have you been drinking paint?
No.
Let me see your tongue.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, that's disgusting.
It's not bad.
You can't drink paint.
I know. I hear you.
You say that, but I don't think that you're going to stop.
I get it, though, man. That's a, right.
I feel like you're saying you get it, but you don't get it.
It's cool.
It's not cool.
It is what it is.
My God, this is so frustrating.
Look, I'm going to go down to the basement. I'm going to check out my glue traps and see if I've, you know, got a leprechaun in
Wait,
there.
No.
We said no leprechaun this year. You're not chasing leprechaun.
I know. I kind of forgot we're landing on that. I got these great cookie sheets. They're full of glue. It's just, but I hear you. I hear you. It's a frustrating thing. It's like the guy doesn't listen to us, man. We're trying to get through this.
That is one funny show. That is one funny show. Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That is one freaking funny show.
It is a funny
when we
show.
It never. In California, it played on an off channel like TBS or something. It never made it to prime channel like 247.
It
know?
Used to be prime, and then they changed it.
Oh, okay.
You're right. You're right. I was just reading that her baby has what's called Edwards syndrome or trisomy 18, which is a genetic condition. And most don't live either during labor or you have a miscarriage, or they don't usually live. But I'm not really sure what she's worried about her uterus for.
I don't know.
But wants to have more children. It's kind of weird. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It must be some kind of, I guess the medical procedure is if it was formed, I can only do it as a layman, thinking that if she has the baby, it'll be so much the complications of having the child will harm her for having future kids. That's what I'm hearing. I may be misunderstanding. What's going on here?
It said something.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they're stillborn, or they die from a miscarriage. So usually only nearly 40% die, and they don't survive during labor. So either way, it's a good possibility that the baby's going to die.
Right.
Wait a minute. I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
But you know what I'm worried about, Melissa?
What?
I mean, people, we tend to think people are decent. We tend to think all parents in the world are decent people. We tend to, and then when something goes wrong, if there's abuse or whatever, we get so shocked. And we get shocked. And the truth of the matter, a lot of people who have irresponsible pregnancies, there's going to be, whether there's alcoholism, drug abusism, money problem, whatever, chances are there's going to be some kind of complications in your life that your financial, not every baby comes into the world that everybody expects. I guess what I'm trying to say is, what kind of mother would look at their kid in their eyes and say, you know what, we aborted you? Now, I know she did the research. She did the research. I understand that. But a lot of these people who are adopted are happy that they're adopted. They're happy that they're loved. They're happy of their adopted parents. I understand some people will look for their parents. But I don't think majority of them are thinking, was I partially aborted? And would they get that message? And I think a lot of the procedure and a lot of the documents are kept sealed that they wouldn't know the procedure that their mother had and about the abortion. It's just there's some cracks in here that I don't understand. And I don't understand why anybody would even say that. I wouldn't even understand. And the key thing here, and you're pretty smart, Melissa, you are. And the key thing is that we have adoption, right? I mean, when you're adopting a kid, you're not putting that in. You don't have that information about so much about the biological mother, whether she's an alcoholic, a drug abuser, a crazy or insane or whatever. You don't have that information. You got the general information. So how would you have the information if you're an adopted person that you would have that information to find out that you were partially aborted? I'm just wondering.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, because they will go on adoption or people or whatever. And even if you're not adopted, what parents are going to say, Melissa, get in here. You know what? I wish the abortion would have went through. You are a survivor of the abortion, and you popped out, and you've been a pain in my ass ever since. I mean, can you imagine that? I can't imagine anybody being that cruel.
When you read this, when you read about her, she's almost trying to spare herself from the pain of having this sick.
Mm-hmm.
She says,
mm-hmm.
This is ABC News. I do not want to put my body through the risk of continuing this pregnancy. I do not want to continue until my baby dies in my belly, or I have to deliver a stillborn baby, or one that lives, or whose worth life will be measured in hours or days, full of medical tubes and machinery. Trisomy babies that survive birth often suffer cardiac or respiratory failure. I do not want my baby to arrive in this world only to watch her suffer a heart attack or suffocation. I desperately want the change to try for another baby. And I want to access the medical care now that gives me the best chance at another baby. This is really interesting, huh?
It is. It is. But I see I'm for pro-choice, not pro-life. And the bottom line is she should save up her money, come to California, get an abortion, and shut the fuck up. But okay, mm-hmm. Do you want to go as far as going to the Supreme Court and going to the courts? What the fuck are you doing? Your state tells you. See, here's part of me. Your state just reversed Roe versus Wade. You live in that state. You had the right to vote and change these laws, but you didn't. So now you live in that state. And for you to go to the court and say, I have the right to have my baby I have the right to have an abortion because if I do have the baby's going to die anyway, and some complication of procedure can really sterilize me to have children in the future. Well, what's wrong? Then shut the fuck up, save some money, go to a place, Oregon, California, Washington, wherever, have the fucking abortion, shut the fuck up. Because I don't see the father in any of this. I don't see his anticipation of any of this. That, I mean, it's not like they're together and she's doing the interview because she's going on her own. So it tells me that the guy wants no part of this. He's not going to say shit unless you ask him to pay for the abortion and pay for the airfare. I mean, you know, sometimes
she has a baby that's a year old and a child that's 3 years old.
Okay. So she's okay.
But wants more.
Right.
And they're saying that, you know, inducing, you know, she's had two C-sections, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she could rupture the uterus.
Okay.
It's interesting because either way.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, she wouldn't even have known that this baby was sick.
Right.
Right? With all the testing we have now.
Right, and you bring up an excellent point. Because nowadays with technology, women are faced with these decisions every day worldwide.
Yes.
That your baby may have this syndrome and may come out with this syndrome or may not be this syndrome, blah, blah.
Yes.
Women are faced with this all the time. We don't talk about it. And they are faced with a life and death choice of saying, you know, do you have the money? And it is like, oh, we don't want to abort the retarded kid that's in your uterus or the what do you call them? Help me out, but because we can't afford this kid's going to need care. This kid's going to need a lot of care.
This particular baby won't live. It won't live.
Right.
So that, with this particular one. But, you know, I almost find what she's doing to be selfish.
Kind of. But does she? But it's her body. But the question
is,
and it could be.
It is. It is.
It could be selfish, and like that, she could be a bitch. But does she have the right to? There's only a few things we have the right to in this world, and does she have the right to make a decision about her own body that can lead to complications in life? They have the procedure done. Hmm.
Wow.
I don't know. It is a tough one. Butterfly effect. I got 10 minutes. Butterfly effect. Melissa, I think you talked about it once in a while. You know what a butterfly effect is?
Laverne knows more about that than I do. The only thing I can tell you is they have a movie. So good, talk about it, because I'm not really.
Well, what is the butterfly? Okay. Well, what is the butterfly effect, and how do we misunderstand it? Okay, here's what a butterfly effect. If you thought the butterfly effect was just a terrible 2004 movie starring Ashton Kutcher and Amy Smart, think again. The film was just a new take on a much older concept. It is true. The butterfly effect is an idea. It's a small idea. Seemingly trivial events may ultimately result in something with much longer, larger consequences. In other words, they have no linear impact on very complex systems. For instance, when a butterfly flaps its wings in India, why India, for instance? I don't have time to go into it. That's interesting. Why India? But anyway, when a butterfly flaps its wings in India, that tiny change in air pressure could eventually cause a tornado in Iowa.
Good.
Is this something? No, this is nothing. It says here, Kutcher's character finds a way to travel back in time to his childhood. Every time he makes his journey, he does small things differently, but those tiny changes wind up having major and horrifying effects on his adult life. The term butterfly effect was coined in the 1960s by Edward Lorenz. He was a meteorology professor at the Massachusetts. Everything revolves around Boston Institute
That's
of Technology.
Smart.
True. That is true. And he was studying weather patterns. He devised a model demonstration that if you compare two starting points indicating current weather that are near each other, they soon drift apart, and later one area could wind up with severe storms while the other is calm. So at the time, weather stats thought you should be able to predict future weather based on looking at historical records to see what happened when conditions were the same as they were now. Lorenz was skeptical. He was running a computer program to test various weather simulations, and he discovered that rounding off one variable from 1% dramatically changes the 2 months of weather predictions in this simulation. Butterfly effect. So while people often think that butterfly effects means that tiny changes can have big consequences, and we can track this progression to see what change caused what, Lorenz was trying to say that we can't track these changes. We don't really know exactly what would cause a weather pattern to go one way or another. So Lorenz called this sensitive dependence on initial conditioning. When he introduced his work to the public, entitled Periodic Flow, is the Butterfly Effect and the Chaos Theory. Later, other scientists realized the importance of Lorenz's discovery. His insights laid to the foundation of a branch of mathematical known as the Chaos Theory, the idea of trying to predict the behavior of systems that are inherently unpredictable. You can see instances of the butterfly effect every day. Weather change is one example, climate change is another, because as it turns out, warming climate are impacting. So the butterfly effect here and there is supposed to be of weather. That's what it does. So when people took that and they got to go, you know, for humans and the way humans will behave or the future, it's nonsense. when we consider how one small change can quickly result in a lot of unintended consequences. Now, the reason I put that there, do I have time? Let's see, I got 6 minutes. I'll talk really fast. First of all, I want to thank the lovely Melissa for coming in there. I want to thank Oliver as a special guest on the radio show. Thank you, Oliver. It's because I wanted to get into friendships and relationships. You know, a lot of times shows will get into relationship shows. Well, I think we all have a pattern, and people like certain people. Melissa likes certain things in men. Laverne likes certain things in men. I like certain things in women. And so even if we find these things abuses, we cannot change who we are and what attracts us. So you find like you like a crazy guy, a comical guy, a joking guy, or a guy who's a daredevil. That guy might beat us, but then we always attracted to the other daredevil. Okay, how you can say the butterfly effect? I don't care about relationship. I think the butterfly effect is your friendship. As when you know, if I met Melissa in second grade, and all of a sudden I talked to her now, she's not the same. And Mr. Something happened along the way as my friend that changed her and went on to the left instead of going to the right, that who she is now. So one little tiny thing she did in second grade, that little thing she did in second grade can maybe affect the big Melissa who she is now. What happened to her in second grade? So I want to go further into this, but I can't because we only got 5 minutes. I find that more interesting. So I find friendship relationship more interesting than I find relationship interesting. Relationship is bullshit because you're dealing with different emotions and you are now compromising who you are with another person, and you become two instead of one. A friendship relationship, you're still working on that one individual, developing. So I find that more intriguing than I do relationship, the butterfly effect on a relationship. And Dr. What's her name? She put this butterfly effect into a relationship topic. And I thought it was bullshit. What you do in a relationship, the small things you do, she would say it like this, the small things you do. When I had a little kid, I'm parenting what she's saying. I loved it when I came home from work and my little daughter, who was like 7, she would run to the door and say, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. She goes, that made me feel good. So the rest of my life, I want my husband, as soon as I come home, I want him to get up from the couch and run to the door and go, Honey, 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 because it makes you feel good. And one woman says, well, why can't I do that if I'm laying on the couch? No, you got to make the effort to get up and run to the door and go, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. That's what it is, because that's the butterfly effect. And ever since she did it as a little kid, she does it as an adult, let's spread it around. So that's how she used it for dating. And I say you could probably use it as a friendship because it's more important, because how did you develop being who you are? What changed you? What little thing did you do? Did you take that last beer? Did you take that beer in that drive-in movie? Did you go to the drive-in movie and let somebody, you thought you were in love with somebody you had sex with and it was the worst thing in life? There's something way back when you're a little girl or when you're a little boy, there's something, and let's not go with, the trauma with the sex and the incest. There's something else. That's low-hanging fruit. But there's something that made you develop who you are, made you go to one road instead of the other road, made you become who you are. And it's a little thing. Whether you're walking with your mother to Walmart and you saw this funny guy and that he was doing weird things in the aisle, or you saw this funny woman dressed certain way and you become a fashion designer because you said, oh no, that's not acceptable. It doesn't always have to be sex. There is something. There is some little thing that happened in your life. It's a small little thing and you don't even think about it that changed you for who you are now. What was it? What small little thing made you become who you are? I know it made me become who I am. I was a rebel, and I ran for president in an all-white school, and I became my school president, and then I became the class president, and they never had a black guy ever as a president. I was a class president at sixth grade and running the whole fucking school. Of course, I was on the take, and of course, I blackmailed people. Oh, well. Let's forget about that. It's always sunny in California. But
I'm telling you, watch the show. Do you think
being
an abortion survivor changed that woman's life?
hunk it up.
That act, maybe that act of her mother having that done and she lived changed her life.
Well, for her going to court, she may be changing millions of other people's lives too, depending on what the verdict is. It's the butterfly effect.
No, I'm saying the other woman, the abortion survivor lady.
Oh, her. Yeah, I think she's a nutcase. Yeah. And I think it's a cult thing. And I think she's
too.
Traumatized.
Hmm? Yeah, wouldn't, can you imagine being told that?
Yeah. No. I still can't. I think this is a cult thing. I think it's a way of raising money, and very few people, how many members, even that woman told me very little things about it. Oh, I just started. Oh, are you a victim of this? I don't know. I might be. It's like, you might
what
be.
That?
You're answering the. Yeah,
did they tell her to say that so that people would identify with her? Or,
of
you know?
Course. Of course. And she seemed like she's a kind of a person that wouldn't lie. She feels bad about exaggerating and lying. So she won't say yes or no because she could easily say it. She goes, I could be, because it sounds like she's a nice girl that should not be answering the phone in that organization because there's something else going on there. I really believe that. I got
anybody
2 seconds. Melissa, beautiful. Thank you, Melissa.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going
Thank
to go.
You.
Now we're going to go
okay.
into the podcast. But no.
Okay.
I want to hear what you have to say. We're okay. We're still live, but I just wanted to hear
that
live.
I mean, that would change your life, learning that about yourself, if it's true.
Well, I mean, it's like a parent. I could only see that a parent would say that if they hate the kid, angry at the kid, or exhausted. You know what? You were an aborted person. You survived. I mean, that's the most cruelest thing that you could – maybe to me, who would say that to a kid?
I don't know.
You know,
but she
that's
was
like
adopted,
saying
– so maybe they'd let her know, right?
In her case,
history.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I would have to believe, and I'll call the adoption people, I have to believe the majority of people who are adopted or appreciated the new parents. I don't believe as many as people, of course the curiosity is who is my birth mother, but it's so expensive nowadays, I think they stop short of hiring an investigator, going into the DNA lab. They could probably do the shortcut and take that 1-2-3-and-me test. But then they would have to hope that their biological parents or siblings take the same test to match it. But again, that's expensive. But you could probably do that and work your way where you're related and who you know, you're Indian or you got 60% of this and you're Irish and then you work your way back from there. But nobody has the time anymore. And it's so expensive. I think adopted people are so happy that they got a good family that treat them right, you know, and they leave it alone. I don't think they go far as getting the information about the procedure that, you know, you were kind of aborted, but you survived.
I don't even know.
Because I know that when I get a procedure done, I have what they call here in California, a portal, meaning every procedure I could go in and see the results of the procedure.
Yeah.
But I would have to know there is a procedure. How would they go, well, there was a procedure, you got this, and you might be, who done the procedure, who was the procedure? And you wouldn't know because that's their test. It's not your test. So I don't know if they would open up. If Melissa was my sister and she wanted to get plastic surgery and get her ears shorter. I don't know. I'm not saying she has big ears. I'm just trying to be dramatic, okay? And so she goes get these procedures, and she get a little nippy. I wouldn't be able to go on her portal to find out her medical and what procedures she did and what medication she's on. I couldn't do it. So I don't know if any child could go back into saying, I was adopted, I want to know the procedure of my birth mom and that she, what was done to her because she was – I don't know if they would give her that information. And
maybe
that,
they
what,
were
Kenzar
told – now listen. Listen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were told because she was premature and she was adopted. Maybe she had some health issues when she was little.
Right.
So maybe the parents were told, the adoptive parents, this is why this baby was premature – blah, blah, blah. Who knows? Right?
I have never tried adoption. I don't know how much information they give you. They would seem like they would have to give you if she has any health problems.
Oh, my
God.
They
would have to know that.
Hold on.
Like
I've got somebody nagging me. Okay.
All right. baby?
No. It's not affecting. It's just like, my God. Okay, whatever.
I don't know how much information that that you one gets for the health of a child that they're adopting. I don't know if they even know. I don't know if you adopt a child. It's a good question because I like to call an adoption agency. I don't know if the kids in adoption agency, she was the foster parent. Let's just say this. Do they run a health? Do they give her a physical? Do they run a health thing? Is she up to date? Or does the kid needs meds? What do they do? Do they just hand it off to the foster parents and say, good luck, and here's your stipend every month for keeping the kid?
I know a person who was adopted.
Uh-huh.
And the birth mother did know that the mother had been using drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the child was taken at birth.
Okay.
So the birth mother, the adoptive mother did get that information.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that happens with everybody.
Yeah. But I wonder, do they have the detail of what kind of drugs and what was she doing? Was she a hooker? Was she something?
Yeah.
Was she...
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, they
do?
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't know that. Very good.
Yep.
Very good.
Yeah.
So be careful adopting internationally. You don't know what that Ukraine kid is. I know some of these Americans are saying, let's go ahead and adopt these Ukraine babies right now because it will not take long, you know, to get them here. This happens every war. There's a lot of Americans right now who want to adopt some Palestinian kids, babies right now, because it would be no red tape to get them the hell out of there. They did the same thing in Vietnam. They did the same thing in Ukraine, Russia, Poland. When Poland had their war thing, the Americans went over there and adopted every fucking baby they could do because there was no red tape. I ought to do a story on that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, that would
be interesting. Yeah, be aware of adopting kids in the different countries because,
you never know
what
you're going to get. Yeah.
You never know, right?
No.
You have an 8-year-old running around tying his hair like he's Rambo and running out in the middle of the street.
Yep.
Melissa, you are a queen. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And thank you, Ali, my Ali.
He's being quiet
now. I know. Thank you. Thank you, kiddo. I appreciate it. How you
You're
doing? I hope Mike's doing well. I'm just going to use the name Mike.
Wonderful.
It's
wonderful.
It's Christmas time, Mike. Smile, buddy.
Yeah, right.
Don't be a Grinch. Don't be a Grinch. Don't be a Grinch.
Some people just want to be that way. You know what I mean?
That is true. That is true.
This
I'm going to leave. They do. I have a lot of Christmas songs, but I'm going to leave the show with Laverne's favorite song because if she hears it in the podcast, I want her to hear it. Laverne, this goes out to you. This is your favorite song. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. That is the lovely Melissa. And that is the great Oliver, my homie. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. This goes out to you, Laverne. Bye, everybody.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheek? Darling, I will be loving you. Baby, my heart could still fall at heart at 23. And I'm thinking about how people fall in love in a mysterious way. Maybe just the touch of a hand. Well, me, I fall. I just wanna tell you
the gun and the memory fade. And the crowds don't remember my name. When my hands don't play the strings the same way, I know you will still love me the same.
Oh.
'Cause honey, your soul could never grow. Baby, your smile forever in my mind and memory. I'm thinking about how people fall in love in a mysterious way. Maybe it's all part of a plan. Well, I'll just keep on making the
great evening, everybody.
Place your
see you guys
hands on
tomorrow. Just take it out, man.